The following is a presentation of Team Glory Sports.
Well, the effects of Hurricane Helene have affected high school football all across the North Georgia area this weekend. And here on 97.5 Glory FM, last night's scheduled game between East Forsyth and Flying Branch was moved to today. And it's going to be a Region 8 Quad A battle between the East Forsyth Broncos and the Flying Branch Falcons, with both teams looking for their first region game of the year. Before last week, their loss to North Oconee, East Forsyth was undefeated going into last week's first game of the region. While for Coach Jason Tesser and his Flying Branch Falcons, they fell to one of the top teams in the state in Class Quad A to the Eastside Eagles down in Covington. It's a big region matchup between East Forsyth and Flying Branch. You'll hear all the action here on 97.5 Glory FM as we kick things off with the Longstreet Cafe pregame show, and it begins now.
97.5 Glory FM, WGTJ Radio presents Friday Night Football in North Georgia. Welcome to the countdown to kickoff of tonight's game with the Longstreet Cafe pregame show. Let's go to the field for tonight's game on 97.5 Glory FM.
It is high school football on a Saturday here on 97.5 Glory FM. Live from Falcon Field at Flying Branch, Joe Gailey, Mike Warford with you here. This Region 8 Quad A matchup between the East Forsyth Broncos and the Flying Branch Falcons. We bring you exclusive coverage of today's ball game. It's homecoming here at Flying Branch. And Joe, it's going to be interesting to see how the teams deal with adversity today.
Well, it will, Mike, and starting, you know, basically 7 hours earlier than you usually would, you know, getting up early on a Saturday morning where they might have not gotten up as early. Be like getting up and going to school, and they had to get here early, get taped up, get stretched out and ready. A little bit different plan for the week, but I think these guys, you know, as they always say, these young guys are always resilient, and their bodies can take it a whole lot more than mine and yours can. But the Flying Branch has already come out and gone through their warm-ups, and East Forsyth finishing theirs up now, getting all stretched out and ready to go. And, you know, see, it's a big region game. Both of them are 0-1, and everything else is region the rest of the way out. So this is a huge game already, you know, just in their second region game of the season.
Because the difference is in this region, in this classification, is that you go ahead and play the top four teams in the region, go to state, compared to AAA, AA, and single A. So You can't really afford to go 0-2 with just four games left in the season.
Exactly right. It's awful tough because then you're playing catch-up for sure. You know, it'd be nice. And you know Coach Tester, you know, they've only won one game this season against Habersham, and they look good in that one. They need to come out and win this one today to give them a little more confidence going down the stretch, if you will, for the rest of the season.
Joe and I count down to kickoff of today's homecoming game with Flying Branch. Coming up next, we'll preview today's ball game with two coaches. First off, you'll hear from Coach Dustin Cannon with an interview I had recorded a little earlier. Stay tuned. We've got much more for you here on the Longstreet Cafe pregame show on 97.5 Glory FM.
Give me an L, give me an O, give me an N.
Hope Bunch, the voice of Longstreet Cafe, what you doing?
I'm putting our cheer together for our tailgate season. Whether you're taking our home-cooked favorites to the game or eating with us afterwards, we've got something for everyone.
So what can I do to help?
Glad you asked, Mary. I need you to take care of our mascots.
No, wait.
Thanks, Mary, and they'll need to stay at Cheer House, too.
She did it to me again.
Longstreet Cafe with two Gainesville locations.
Your home is part of you, and keeping it comfortable and well-maintained is essential. Conditioned Air Systems is North Georgia's solution for residential heating, air, and plumbing services. For more than 40 years, our family has been committed to delivering the highest quality service by our certified technicians and plumbers. Experience the difference today when you choose Conditioned Air Systems for your home's heating, air, and plumbing needs. Quality you can feel, service you can trust. Visit conditionedairsystems.com to schedule an appointment.
Back at the Longstreet Cafe pregame show on 97.5 Glory FM, counting down to the kickoff of today's ball game between the East Forsyth Broncos and Flying Branch Falcons. Let's talk with Coach Dustin Cannon of East Forsyth. Coach, tell me about getting ready for this region game with all the adversity you had this week.
Yeah, I feel like we're dodging raindrops right now a little bit, but we've had a good week. You know, we're actually on fall break here in Forsyth County, so we haven't had school, so we were able to get practice in Monday through Wednesday, kind of for the, the weather came in, and but Thursday and Friday we really hadn't been able to do much, so we're just waiting around for the big noon kickoff here on Saturday. So looking forward to the matchup.
All right, so tell me about how your team's got a rebound from the game against North Oconee last week.
Yeah, so we've had a pretty good start to the year, and our kids really been playing hard, and then we ran up against a really good North Oconee team, and you know, I was proud of our kids with our effort and you know, their grit and how they played, and kind of the message this week was just to learn. You know, you either win or you learn, and we took a lot of lessons from Friday night, and we evaluated the film and things we need to improve on, and one of those being, you know, taking care of the ball, and so that was kind of a focus this week in practice, and just cleaning up the details, because details matter when you play good teams, and so that's kind of what we've been focusing on this week, just cleaning up everything.
All right, so tell everybody about your team, because still, this is only the fourth year of the program. Your first year as head coach, you know, you were an assistant under Coach Allison, so let everybody know about your team.
Well, yeah, speaking of Coach Allison, he did a great job here laying the foundation for our football program, and a lot of what he brought is still in place, and the biggest message that I've been preaching here is just consistency. You know, it's not about tomorrow's, it's not about yesterday's, it's about here and now, and we're going to get better in the here and now, and what we can focus in on the day. And you know, there's been a lot of adversity that we faced this year with, you know, our first game having to play on Saturday, and now this game with the weather we're playing again on Saturday. We've got two Thursday night games that are road trips for us, and so there's a lot of adversity that we face, and we'll continue to face throughout the season, but our guys have done a great job of just focusing on the here and now and focusing on the day at hand.
Well, it's always life lessons, what I would say, Coach, when it comes to these adversity lessons that you'll learn playing high school football. Tell me about the scheme of the Broncos and why you've been so successful so far.
Yeah, so I say we're pretty balanced on offense, and speaking of offense, our offensive line's really come a long way. They've really kind of gelled together and gotten better as the years come along. And, you know, we're going to go as they go on offense. And our quarterback, Brock Zake, has done a great job distributing the ball to our playmakers in space. And so offensively, I'd say we're pretty balanced attack. Defensively, you know, our kids do a great job of just running and hitting. We're going to line up and just turn them loose and let them run to the ball. And, you know, we're going to carry a multiple front. We're going to base out of primarily an odd front, but we'll mix it up and just let those guys play free and run to the ball. That's kind of who we are on defense.
All right, should be a great one. It's East Forsyth and Flyer Branch. We've got much more coming up next on the Long Street Cafe pregame show here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Hi, Hope Bunch, the voice of Long Street Cafe.
Mary, did you know Long Street Cafe supports great programs like FCA? Northeast Georgia FCA is working to see the world transformed by Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes.
And they do a great job of making their mission work through the E3 strategy of making disciples who make disciples. I remember that from my days in school.
Yeah, FCA has been around a while.
Hey now, find out more at ghcfca.org.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
We're counting down to kickoff of today's high school football matchup between East Forsyth and Flyer Branch, talking with the Falcons head coach, Jason Tester. Coach, tell me about how the preparation has been for this ball game today.
Interesting. You know, obviously with the weather and anticipating that, we were on it early. Our admin came to me, and we had some conversations Monday and Tuesday. Reached out to East Forsyth and Coach Cannon, and you know, we were all on the same page. We really wanted to get it in Friday, and you know, we thought that that'd still be a possibility, but you know, it's better to err on the side of caution. And you know, we got the noon kickoff, so it's you know, we have a routine. We're bringing the kids in early, and we're going to get a lift in. We're going to have breakfast and have our walkthrough stuff and, you know, try to have things as normal as possible for it being a day game.
As Coach and I are talking on Friday, getting ready for today's broadcast. So that's the thing. Have you been able to practice getting ready for this game, Coach?
It's been, you know, challenging. We there's been a lot of messages through huddle and, you know, a lot of film. You know, we go Wednesday mornings, so that's the last time that we've been with our kids. So we have that extended period, which we'll use, you know, Saturday morning to be able to review and go over any questions and, you know, make sure that we're ready to go.
All right, so tell me about getting ready to go. So how is our offense going to get things going finally?
It starts up front, offensive line, setting the tone, and, you know, our kids understand, and, you know, they knew the challenge last week, you know, going in and playing a top 10 team in Eastside and that being the first region game. And our youth showed. It's something we're not shying away from. We're real big on being upfront and honest with our kids and making sure they understand the task at hand, and, you know, we're not going to sugarcoat it. So it's very clear that they understand and, you know, the program across the board that, you know, every Friday and now Saturday is an opportunity for us to spotlight our kids and to go out and execute. And, you know, region wins are very important. So we have an opportunity, you know, this Saturday with East Forsyth, who's a good football team, disciplined football team, and there's a lot of familiarity with guys on their staff that were here before. So, you know, our kids understand the task at hand and, you know, are looking forward to the challenge.
All right. You saw what happened to them last week at North Oconee. Of course, that's North Oconee. So but before that, they were very successful. Tell me about their team.
Well coached. And the kids go out and play with confidence. That's really the biggest thing in high school football. You know, if the ability to, you know, make a mistake and go out and flush it and go to the next play. You know, we look for that in our opponents. Are there areas of weakness that we can go after? And they're disciplined. So they didn't shy away from, you know, North Oconee, who's a very good football team, took it to them early, and it was a battle. So, you know, we know that we got our work cut out for us. You know, I think we're prepared, you know, despite the change to our structure for the week. And again, with our youth, it's a matter of our kids understanding whether, you know, good, bad, or indifferent on plays that we're moving on to the next one and focus on task at hand and go out and execute and be one of 11.
All right, coming up next, we've got more for you. Counting down to kickoff is East Forsyth and Flower Branch here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Give me an L, give me an O, give me an N.
Hope Bunch, the voice of Longstreet Cafe, what you doing?
I'm putting our cheer together for our tailgate season. Whether you're taking our home-cooked favorites to the game or eating with us afterwards, we've got something for everyone.
So what can I do to help?
Glad you asked, Mary. I need you to take care of our mascots.
No, wait.
Thanks, Mary, and they'll need to stay at Cheer House, too.
She did it to me again.
Longstreet Cafe with two Gainesville locations.
At Jackson EMC, we embrace innovation. The new ideas in our industry that lead to better use of resources and improved ways of conducting business.
To be an innovative cooperative, I believe we always have to be looking at how we are handling our member experience.
Innovation is really important to Jackson EMC. It's our role to really make sure we're on the cutting edge of these new changes in technology that are coming to the power sector.
Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Longstreet Cafe pregame show on 97.5 Glory FM.
And back here at Falcon Field, Mike and Joe with you here on 97.5 Glory FM as we get ready for today's ball game between East Forsyth and Flowery Branch. Be honest with you, not a large crowd here. That's one of the reasons we're here to bring you the play-by-play of this ball game. It is homecoming for the Branch. You hear a little echo here in the background with our set up here in the press box here at Flowery Branch. Not quite as open as we would like to have it. You can hear the sound coming off the glass here in front of us from that standpoint, but glad we're here for this standpoint. I think you're going to see a lot about East Forsyth. We've got listenership, Joe, over in the John Down Road area there, which is not far at all from our listening area here at 97.5 Glory FM. I told Coach Cantor we're going to try to include them in our broadcast, and you and I know the entire coaching staff base when it comes to head coaches over at East Forsyth. We're going to have Athletic Director Matt Hollis joining us at halftime during the game with an extended halftime show. Remember, after our brawl game today at 3 o'clock, we'll bring you college football with Georgia State and Georgia Southern. You heard from Harper LaBelle this morning on the Saturday Morning Sports Show. Dave Cohen and Harper bring you the play-by-play of State, not Southern this afternoon, starting at 3 with the Panther pregame show. Kick will be at 3:30 here on your radio station of North Georgia Sports. So a big day of sports for you from the Saturday Morning Sports Show. Again, thanks to Chuck Graham joining me. He's feeding me scores from the game between West Hall and Jefferson. Jefferson on top of the Spartans right now in the first half. Also in the third quarter, it is Chesapeake on top of Johnson, 49-0 over at the Dungeon. They started at 10 o'clock this morning. And also down in Monroe, there at the Purple Pit, it is a region 8AAA between East Hall and Monroe area, and the Hurricanes lead East Hall 21-0 right now in the first half.
We talked briefly there a minute ago, Mike, about a 12 o'clock start. That 10 o'clock start would have been tough on us for sure, would it?
Absolutely, friend.
Having to get ready this morning. That's awful early. The students are just getting their second biscuit in them that time of morning.
No doubt about that, buddy. So let's go to everybody's starting lineups.
Starting lineup, Flair Branch on the offensive side of the football. We will have across the line of scrimmage, we will have Max Scott, number 65, number 59, Carson Peacock, number 50, Joshua Pacheco, guard, number 58, Adam Ginn, tackle, number 74, Jacob Hoover. The receivers will be Jake Bursinger, number 8, number 11, Brooks Risanella, 0, Tyler Robinson, and 10, Jacob Miller. Quarterback will be Riley Borey. Running back, Jacob Akers, be spelled by Griffin Harper, number 1, and Dartavius Bledson, number 20. Defensively, for East Forsyth, across the line of scrimmage, you'll have defensive line number 24, Roman Dickerson, along with 42, Adrian Reyes, 43, Michael Acevedo. The linebackers will be, and there'll be a kind of a mixture in here, Jeremiah Foote, number 2, number 18, Troy Hoover, number 3, Kellen Morgan, and number 20, Davis Downs. Knox Allen will substitute in at a linebacker position. I'll get it right in a second. Number 8, Jake Hudson, defensive backs. Messiah Arnold, number 23. Johnny Arguello, who will also be doing kicking duties today, number 26. Gus Martin, number 7. Titus DeArcangelo, number 28. And Nathan Descus will be wearing number 22 at a cornerback position. On the other side of the football, East Forsyth on offense, Andrew Frank will be a receiver. Number 13, number 4, Chase Rhodes will be a receiver. Grant Barton, 33, a receiver. Trent Polk, a receiver, number 12. Across the line, number 78, Rick Wiggins, 73, Arion Ristick, 77, Ethan Mooneyham, number 70, Jackson Mayo, and 52, Caleb Harding. Quarterback will be number 15, Brock Sakis, he's a senior. Running back will be number 7, Gus Martin, and number 17, DJ Haskell, and Tony Arguello will be a kicker, and Titus DeArcangelo will be the punter. Defensively for Flyer Branch, you'll have 88 Eli Poole on the defensive line, along with Josh Pacheco, number 50, and number 34, Andrew Lefford. The linebackers will be Griffin Harper, number 1, Rylan Garrison, 24, and Jackson Prehar, 28. Defensive backs will be 21, Austin Prehar, number 12, Tanner Renard, number 9, Tristan Mendoza, number 5, Tripp Morris, and number 3, Parker Borey. Both teams are 0-1 in the region, and the Jason Testers Branch team, they are 1-4 overall, 4-1 for the East Forsyth Broncos.
We saw the Falcons win their only game against Habersham Central here a few weeks ago, and the Broncos went 4-0 before falling to North Oconee last week, and North Oconee could beat probably anybody in any classification.
Yep. The East Forsyth team is averaging, scoring 31.4 points a game, giving up 15.6 points per game. The offensive side of football for Flyer Branch, they're only scoring 10 points per game, but they're giving up 27.4. So this might be a struggle between the East Forsyth offense and the defense for Flyer Branch today, see how many they can hold them to. Plus, Flyer Branch has got to score some points today for sure.
And on top of that, Joe, next week the Branch has the week off, so they don't play again until 2 weeks. While it is East Forsyth back in action on Friday, so they'll have another short week as they'll go up against Cedar Shoals, a game they should win. But again, it's another short week, and you heard from Coach Dustin Cannon talking about they're playing two Saturday games this year, two Thursday night games this year. So talk about is difficult to get a rhythm going when it comes to playing, quote-unquote, Friday night football.
Well, and as we say a lot of times with when you and I and Gary are together and then with Harper with us this year, us old-timers are still traditionalists when we like the Friday night football for the high school, and now they're almost like on this college and pro schedule.
Yes.
Thursday nights, a Saturday, you know, yep. All this other. And then first of the season, we saw some Sunday games on television. So with this with these teams out of Florida and now yep. California. So, you know, it's getting to where it's kind of every night. You know, and I that's not just because of the shortage of officials. That's because of money and everything else that you can do that
and
with.
And the bad part about it is, though, college football should not take over Friday nights. They had a college game last night. So Friday nights is high school football. Yep. You can have Saturday all day long, mm-hmm. Okay?
Well, you know, that earlier this year, there was a conversation between the NFL and college because college said, no, we're not going to give up this day.
Correct.
If you want to play, that's fine, but this is our day.
Correct.
And I think they're, instead of playing four games for pro that day, they're only playing one. But
yep.
I congratulate the college group because that's usually their day. You know, so why are we giving up just to make you happy? So,
yep.
Who knows? Our officials for today, because Gary and Harper are not with us, if you hadn't gathered that, they are both enjoying, Harper's enjoying Georgia State football today,
yes.
And Gary's enjoying his grandson's playing football today. But our officials today, referees John Heath, our umpires Rodney Beck, head lineman is Paul Bell, Scott Leach is the line judge, field judge is Blake Baker, the side judge is Cameron Mason, electric clock operator Jeff Eicher, and the play clock operator, Juan Morfa. That's our officials as assigned by the Lanier Officials Association.
And you will not hear it this time around when it comes to the official flipping the coin here today, because we have our crowd mic up here with Joe and I, mm-hmm. So we can hear a little bit of crowd noise, hopefully, what's going on here today. And coming up next, Joe and I will continue with the Longstreet Cafe pregame show, counting down to a 12 o'clock kickoff on 97.5 Glory FM.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top-quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
Back to school shouldn't mean back to the doctor. Make sure you go to Riverside Pharmacy for all of your health needs. They have everything from hand sanitizers to all of the vitamins you'll need. But if your child does get sick, then the expert pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy can get your family back to school by filling all of your prescriptions. They'll even deliver them in the Gainesville area. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too. I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
Siphon Logistics commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Now, back to the Longstreet Cafe pregame show on 97.5 Glory FM.
It's doubleheader football for you here on 97.5 Glory FM. A 12 o'clock kickoff of East Forsyth and Flying Branson at 3 o'clock. Panther pregame show counting down to the kickoff at 3:30 with Georgia State versus Georgia Southern from Center Park Stadium in Atlanta, now known as the Georgia Grown Bowl between State and Southern. Looking forward to that this afternoon. This State Agricultural Commission now getting involved with this game, and it's going to be neat to have them have a sort of like a their own little battle of State of Georgia and having a trophy and that kind of thing. Joe,
I like that.
Latest scores we got for you here, and Nathan will be posting them on our scoreboard on our website, WGTJRadio.com, and also on our X site at Team Glory Sports. Third quarter play down at the Dungeon at Johnson High, just up the road from us, in fact. It is now Chesity 56, Johnson nothing. And I'm afraid of this, Joe. I'm playing on Saturday. You see the lopsided scores.
Mm-hmm.
Right now in the second quarter at Memorial Stadium in Jefferson, it's the Dragons 35, West Hall nothing.
Mm.
And the second quarter, it is Monroe Area on top of East Hall 21-0.
Mm-hmm.
Also today at 12:30, North Hall celebrates homecoming at the Brickyard. They will take on Pickens. Also today at 1 o'clock, it's Greater Atlanta Christian taking on Dawson County in region play. Monday Night Football, Riverside Prep plays at Lakeview Academy. And also it will be Lumpkin County playing at White County coming up on Monday night.
Captains for today's game for Flyer Branch, you'll have number 7, Jacob Akers, number 8, Jake Bursinger, number 20, Dartavius Bledson, and number 50, Josh Pacheco. For East Forsyth, you will have number 3, Kellen Moran, number 23, Messiah Arnold, number 24, Roman Dickerson, and number 78, Rick Wiggins. Flower Branch in their traditional all black with the big white numbers front and back with the red lettering, white helmets, East Forsyth, and all white from top to bottom, white helmets with the orange and blue pinstripe down the top. White tops, white bottoms with pinstripe and blue on top of orange numbers. So I should be able to read them. Of course, it is going to be daylight all day today, so I might be able to read a little bit better too. Cloudy, overcast day, a little patches of blue. So we might have a sprinkle or two as Helene pushes on up into the North Country. Our prayers are for all the folks down in South Georgia that lost loved ones and lost crops. And talked about the Ag Bowl a few minutes ago. Mike, I listened to our ag commissioner yesterday and today, and mm-hmm. If you hadn't bought your pecans, it might be tough to get them this year because they say they were devastated
yes.
when the lane came through between Valdosta and Augusta yesterday and last night.
All right, let's see if we can find out who's going to get the toss here to start things off today.
John Heath is out there. He's our head official with Rodney Beck, a long time, I'll say, friend of ours. He's been around for a couple of years, kind of like Mike and I have, and John will flip the coin out there, and East Forsyth gets the call that he is looking at. Flyer Branch, they won the toss and deferred, it looks like, so let's see what they're – that usually means East Forsyth will get the football. If somebody defers, he's going to have the teams get to whichever side. You'll have East Forsyth will be going right to left as you look at your radio dial, and they will receive the kickoff as Flyer Branch will get it in the second half.
And coming up next, we'll kick things off. It is Flyer Branch and East Forsyth on 97.5 Glory FM.
97.5 Glory FM, WGTJ presents Friday Night Football in North Georgia. Tonight's game is brought to you by Conditioned Air Systems, NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine, Jackson EMC, Duplicating Products, Riverside Pharmacy, EMC Security, Siphon Logistics, and by North Hall Tire and Wheel. It's time for the kickoff of Friday Night Football in North Georgia on 97.5 Glory FM, WGTJ.
It's coming up on high noon, 12 o'clock here at 97.5 Glory FM. Let's pause 5-10 seconds for station identification.
97.5 Glory FM is WGTJ Murrayville Gainesville and W248DL Murrayville Gainesville.
It is time to tee it up to bring you high school football action with a play-by-play story. Here's Joe Gailey.
Thank you, Mike, and hope that Harper and Gary are listening to us today. I know they're around football. As I said a few minutes ago, Gary's watching his grandson play down in the Buford area, and Harper's with our buddy Dave O'Brien, Dave down at Center Park Stadium today.
Yeah, Dave Cohen.
Dave Cohen. Dave O'Brien's the other broadcaster.
Yes, you're way back in the day. Yes.
Exactly. Sorry about that, Dave Cohen. But Harper and Dave Cohen are down at Center Park Stadium going to do the Georgia State versus Georgia Southern Panthers and Eagles this afternoon. Officials high-five each other in the middle field, and they go to their respective positions. Need that back deep for East Forsyth will be number 17, DJ Haskell, and looks like number 7, Gus Martin, back to deep for the Broncos to receive. Kicking for Flowery Branch is Brooks Resinella. Resinella wears number 11. He's teeing it up at the 40 on the far hash mark. They'll be going from left to right, will the Falcons here in the first quarter. They'll swap every quarter. And they're getting started as we kick off here. It looks around 12:01. And Risanella approaches, and there's the kick. High pooch kick, going to come down short around the 24-yard line. Number three takes it. He's going to get across the 25 or 30 up to about the 35. There's number three, Kellen Moran, took the ball, a short kick off it, up to the 34, 35-yard line is where they'll take it, and East Forsyth will have it first and 10.
And Joe, one advantage I think that East Forsyth has, there are three former assistant coaches under Jason Tester who are now at East Forsyth coaching with Dustin Cannon, who know this Firebrands football team.
You were telling me that on the way down here today, Mike, and you know, a lot of times when that flip-flop like that, it kind of helps that team, that's for sure. And there goes the wind blowing the Falcons' tents on the far side. You better have those things tied down today, guys. A little 10 by 10. Yeah, a little puff of wind, boom. Helene's saying hello. All right, Sekas has got him back. One man beside him. That is Haskell. Three wideouts. Three on the far side, one on the near side. One man in motion. That's Rhodes. Now they're going to have a flag on the first one. I believe it's going to be illegal procedures. So between the tents blowing down on the far side, luckily they just blew parallel to the team back there up against the fence. They'll have to tie those rascals down today. Backed them up 5 yards. It'll be first and 15 from the 30.
So you have the Broncos behind the sticks, Joe. You see what Zekas can do. He'll be able to pass the football, also can run it pretty effectively.
That's for sure. Zekas in the shotgun, same formation, three wide out, ball's on the near hash mark. Hands off to Martin. Martin's going to get about three right up the middle to about the 32, maybe the 33, only 2 yards. Second down. Looks like about 13 to go now for the Broncos. Gus Martin brings the ball, the play in. Haskell is the running back. Out wide is Frank on the far side. You got number 12, Trent Polk, on the near side. Defensively, you got four down guys for, you got Poole, Pacheco, and Ledford. And you got number 21, Austin Prearch, on the end right here. The handoff to Martin. Martin trying to scoot around the far side. He's going to get back to the, just past the original line of scrimmage, up to about the 36. It'll be third down and 9 now. So that penalty definitely helped the Falcons there, Mike, and keeping them behind the sticks. And now this third down and 9, let's see what Firebrands can do and see what East Forsyth can do on the offensive side of the football.
We're very fortunate, Joe, to have the Firebrands coaches to our left, our two tight ends that time, and the Falcon defense playing assignment football to start things off.
Three wideouts on the near side, one on the far side. Now they all look over here, their offensive coaches who's giving sign from the East Forsyth bench. They're on the near side with us. One guy is Haskell off to the right of his quarterback. Sekas takes it, looks to pass. Throws it right over the top. Oh, just out of the reach of his intended receiver, number 13, Andrew Frank. And luckily, it was out. He had it about a yard for the first down. He would have been clear for it, but it was just out of his reach. So it'll be a fourth down and 9, and the Broncos will have to punt. Number 28, Titus D'Arcangelo, will come in to do the punting. He'll kick it from about his own 28-yard line, probably. Ball spotted at the 36. Back deep for the Falcons. He's standing sideways, so I can't get his number yet. He will kick it from the 36. High, end over end. The kick going to come down. Fair catch, call for, and caught right there. Nice job with that wind pushing it down. That was zero. Tyler Robinson that caught it. Did a nice job there, Mike, by coming up and fielding it as that ball was being pushed by the wind back towards the kicking team. It'll be Firebrands football on their own 33 for their first possession.
About a 31-yard punt officially, Joe, and you see three and out for the Broncos to start things off. A beautiful day here, but now you're starting to see it's getting a little breezy.
You get a little breezy out there, and the clouds still blowing through from Helene. Or as I told somebody the other day, it's Helen with an E.
There you go.
not in our formation, but running backs offset. Borey's going to try to come around this side, and number two is going to have nothing out of that. Jeremiah Foote, one of the backers, comes over and makes the tackle as Borey was trying to come around this side and got clogged up behind one of his running backs and a tight end on this near side. Got a flag down at the 31, Mike. Let's see what it is.
In the backfield, probably against a branch.
He's looking, and it's going to be a hold on offense. It took place at the 31.
Too,
yeah, if it's from the spot, that'd push him back and be – they're marking it from – well, marking it from the original line of scrimmage, and if it's a 10-yarder, that'll be first and 20. Nope. First, and it was from the spot of the foul, so it's going to be down at the 24 So it'll be first down and 15, about 17 yards to go. Yep. From the 24 now, Denver formation, Borey up under center. A little gadget play, going to run it to the far side, number three trying to carry it right there, and he's not going to get anywhere. That's Parker Borey. He came over from like a slot position, came over to take the handoff, and East Forsyth just came in there and swelled him under. Got back to that line of scrimmage. It'll be second down now and about 17 for Flowery Branch.
Two things for the Branch. They're young, and they've also had some key injuries, Joe.
Mm-hmm. They got a name we're familiar with Riley Borey and Parker Borey back there. We've seen them in baseball before. One guy in, one guy out for the Falcons. Brooks Risanella, receiver, splits out. He's the only wide over near us. Ball right square in the middle of the field at the 24-yard line. Going to pitch it back to Griffin Harper. Harper around the far end at the 30, down to about the 32, 33-yard line. Got back to the original line of scrimmage right there. It'll be third down and 10 then after they put the ball in play. Ball's at the good little end around right there. Good blocking from Scott Peacock on the far side for him to get the first down, or not the first down, but get that back to the original line of scrimmage. Actually gained an extra yards there. It's third down and 9.
Similar to what East Forsyth faced, Joe, in their first drive. You also see Harper's got to do the majority of the running for the Branch.
Mm-hmm. Jacob Akers comes in now. Coming in for Griffin Harper. Got 3-4 wideouts, 3 on the near side. Got trips, as Harper will call them. One on the far side, ball on the far hash mark. Akers, the running back. And now Borey's going to throw it right over the top of everybody. Incomplete. The intended receiver was Brooks Risanella, trying to go short on a little go pattern right down and threw it right over his head. It'll be fourth down and 9 with 8:28 left here in the first quarter.
So now you trade field position, Joe. Let's see what kind of kick the Branch can get now on their first punt of the ball game.
Risanella's back to do the punting for the Branch, and number 7, Gus Martin, back to catch it. See if he gets some wind behind him on this one. He'll kick it around the 25. Ball is spotted to 34. Good snap. Oh, he bobbles the kick, and they can't get it off. He's going to be tackled. He kicked it at the last second, Mike. Got it up under some people, and a good kick, a good roll.
Wow.
After getting handled, had two guys a hold of him, and he was able to get between them and kick it, and it's down into 33-yard line. Wow. Under pressure. Great job by Brooks Risanella to be able to catch it, bobble it, and then get it away from the 34 down, yep, to the opposition 33.
That's a 33-yard kick, Joe, and boy, that's a highlight film play right there to get that one off.
Had two guys, one on each arm right there trying to get him down, and he just dropped the ball and got the leg up and kicked it down there, and it was a low line drive, but kind of end over end, got a great Falcons bounce and down to the 33, and it'll be Broncos football on the near hash mark on their second possession with 8:14 left here in the first quarter. First down at the Bronco 33, a little past the 33. 5-6 guys come up to the front trying to stop him, and they do in the backfield. They hand off to the back, and number 21, Austin Prior, comes up from the end and makes the tackle on number 7, Gus Martin.
This is just what Coach Chester wanted to see with his defense, who's had trouble stopping people in the last couple of games, especially last week in Covington against Eastside.
They had 4 up there, and they brought 3 more right there at the last second when Martin tried to come out to this side. Prior was right there and dove in there and stopped him, knocked him up back about 3.5-4 more yards. Just second down, about 14, we'll call it. Trips on the far side, one on the near side. Going to hand off to Martin again. He stopped in the backfield again. How about that? That's number 34, it looks like, that time. Yep, 34 is Andrew Lefford. Knocked him down for about another yard. Loss will be third down and 14 for sure now. Almost 15. 14.5. Third down. As the offense for the Broncos look over to the sideline, get their play. And the whole offensive line and everything looks. You got trips on the far side, 2 on the near side. Empty set with Sekus back there. Sekus takes the snap. 1 go. Kind of a flag. As Lefford tried to jump the gun right there, and it's going to be offsides. That'll only give him 5 yards, but still.
That can change the play, no doubt about it.
Yep, it could. It's going to make it third down and 9 now after the penalty. Lefford wanted to get a jump in there, Mike, and thought he had it timed and was just a tad over. He was trying to hold back, said, oh, man, I'm over it.
I think everybody knew that Zeke was going to throw the football on that, mm-hmm, play, but now let's see what happens.
6:55 is the clock is running. Second possession for the Broncos here in the first quarter. Sakis empty set. Five wideouts, two on the near side, ball on the near hash mark, one man in motion, that's Martin. Oh, the ball gets on the ground, the Falcons recover. How about that? The bobble snap, or the snap, tried to get it to Martin. Martin couldn't hold on to it. Number 60 holds on it through there, and that number 60 is going to be Santiago Quintero. It looked like Cott came up with that one.
So first turn of the ball game, no score here in the first quarter, but the Branch in great position at East Forsyth territory.
And right there, you spell on it right there at the 34-yard line of East Forsyth. So second possession now, first turnover of the game.
And here's the thing about it, Joe.
Oh, they're going to punt right here, Mike.
Yeah, they're going to say it wasn't. You hear the coaches, too. They say it was down before he fumbled, Joe.
That was interesting.
So take that back. So East Forsyth, they'll be punting the football.
Oh, that's got to be a flag, gentlemen. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. He signaled fair catch. There was no flag. He got drilled as the ball hit him. I thought that was a flag, but evidently not. The ball went over and went right into East Forsyth's hands. Let's see what we've got. I was waiting for a flag to pop out there, but didn't see anything, so let's see.
So he got the punt off successfully. Fair catch was called, and he got drilled.
He was having to come up again because that wind caught it again. It did the receiver. And as he's coming up, Robinson there to make the catch. The ball, he had his hand up. I see a yellow flag on the field now down to 37, Mike. That's what it was. It's got to be what it is. Yeah, got to be. Yeah, it's got to be the fair catch interference. Yeah, because they're facing.
That's a personal foul, 15 yards against East Forsyth.
I didn't see the flag come down, and the wind's whipping because I can see the pants legs of the officials whipping down there, so it's whipping on the field pretty good.
We can tell right now, Joe, everybody's just, you know, so accustomed to their routines.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's out of it right
now.
Out
of sync a little bit, yeah. Noontime Saturday kickoffs might not be the best. I was thinking it might be a good thing, but no, maybe not. Maybe it's not. After the penalty, it'll put them down in the East Forsyth part of the field at the 48-yard line. Flower Branch will have it first and 10 with their second possession. I'm still kind of bum-fuzzled about that ball that hit the ground a minute ago.
Yeah.
Going to hand it off to number one. That's going to be Harper, Griffin Harper. He's going to run behind his line. Peacock Pacheco up there, and he gets about 4, maybe 5 yards across the 45 to about the 44, maybe to 43-and-a-half. 5-yard carry, I'll call it. Second down, 5 yards to go for the Falcons here with 6:07 here in the first quarter.
You can tell the strength of Harper, who is a wrestling champion here at Flyer Branch.
Running backs on either side, three running backs right behind the quarterback. Going to hand off to Harper again. Gets a block across the 30, 40, 35. Got the first down all the way down to about the 30-yard line. Good strong running by Griffin Harper right there behind Scott Peacock Pacheco to get that first down to the 30. Big strong running from Harper behind the other two guys, Akers and Borey, to get that first down, Mike.
I love that formation. Joe, go ahead and do what you do best. Give a little power football and give Griffin some running room.
Jefferson over West Hall, 49-0 is what I'm looking at here.
About a halftime.
Yeah. First down to 30. Branch has the football. Same formation. Going to give to Harper again. Harper's going to scoot through there behind Pacheco that time and get about 3 yards. Down to the 27, they'll say it. Second down and 7. Ball as they drive with 5:06 in the quarter. Second possession for the Falcons, both teams with 2 so far. Borey up under center. Riley takes hands off to Harper again. Down across the 25, down to about the 22. Close to the first down. It'll be third down and short for the first down. I think he got down to about the 22, 23-yard line. I think it's going to say 23 is where they're spotting it at.
It's almost like Flyer Branch's offense is taking what the East Forsyth defense will give them, Joe.
Well, and if the coaches up here will see something that, okay, if we can run it to this side, let's keep hammering it there, you know. Hey, keep going with the girl that brought you to the dance, right?
Right, they've had just that one incomplete pass.
Mm-hmm. Third down, 3. Same formation, no receivers at all. Giving off to the running back on the other side this time, trying to cut inside. He's going to get hit from behind as he kind of stutter steps in a minute. That was number 20, Bletson. I believe that time.
And Joe, his last comment, was talking a little bit about homecoming on the night, both here at Fly Brands up at North Hall also. Homecoming dance is taking place tonight.
Mm-hmm. It was Rylan Garrison, number 24, the running back that time. Ball's going to be at about the 24-and-a-half, fourth down, about 4 yards to go, a little over, almost five. Munson would say a short four or a long five, or short five and a long four. Garrison on the last carry for the Branch. Same formation again. Got guys moving everywhere. Let's see if it's going to be offsides or illegal on illegal formation or illegal
if it's movement. Fireman's, I got to go ahead and kick it somehow.
Wind's behind them. If they've got somebody that can get up in the air and hit it fairly straight, they're going to talk about it and see if they were drawn off. They jump illegal procedure on the Falcons, so that'll back them up five. Be fourth down and 10 now.
So we'll see what Coach Tester decides to do here.
Ball will be placed down at the 30-yard line, 30 and a half.
So you're talking about a 48-yard field goal if you were to try it, Joe?
That's correct. You're bringing on a couple of guys. The clock's winding, the 40-second clock or the play clock, 25, 20. They got to decide something. They're going to try the field goal, Mike.
Yep.
Brooks Rissanella's in there.
Wind behind his back.
Griffin Harper's holding it. Now they're going to have a timeout called by Flyway Branch.
And we'll take it with them. With no score here in the first quarter, we're back in 1 minute on 97.5 Glory FM.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
Rissanella was going to attempt the kick right there. Now they're going to move it back five more yards with an offside penalty. He was well short of the attempted field goal. And now that'll give them fourth down, and they're going to go for the play this time because it's an offside on the Broncos. Will put it up to fourth and about five yards. So move it up to about the 34-and-a-half. They've got to get to the 20-and-a-half. It's at about the 25, just inside the 25. So they'll go for it on fourth and about 4.5 yards right here, Mike. And you got one wide out. Griffin Harper coming on late. He'll be a running back, quarterback. Board. Now we got a flag going way up in the air from the head referee, the white hat. Going to be illegal substitution as they came on our side. So Fire Branch with an illegal substitution. And the white hat wanted to make sure everybody saw that, and that flag went up in air, Mike, about 30 feet.
So, again, mark it back five.
Yep.
Do you try field goal now?
Well, let's see if they flip-flop it again or what. Harper's staying in the game. And there comes Rissanella back out, so the ball will be placed on the 37. So they are going to try the field goal. 3:08 in the first quarter. No score here from the Branch.
So a 47-yard attempt.
There's the snap, the hole, the kick is low line drive. It'll be no good as it hits before the end zone. And score remains 0-0 with 3:03 in the first quarter.
All right, so Eastern South to get the football on the 20-yard line. Updating the scoreboard here. Local games being played. Fourth quarter now over the dungeon is Chesty 56, Johnson nothing. Second quarter of play, it is Jefferson on top of West Hall 49-0. Second quarter, Monroe area over East Hall 41-7.
Clark Central on top of Appalachia, 23-7. Raven County on top of Providence Christian, 15-7. Prince Avenue on top of Hart County, and 30-7 in the second quarter. Trips on this near side, four east for Scythe. One man in the backfield. That's Martin. He'll go over to the right of his quarterback, Zekas. Zekas takes it, looks to pass. Quick screen out here to number 33, Barton. Barton's going to get across the 25, almost out to the 30. But he's going to knock down at the 28-yard line. Second down, 2 yards to go. So first real positive gain of the day for the Broncos, Mike.
Joe, real quickly, that Clark Central Appalachian game, first time the Wildcats have played since the September 4th tragedy took place there. And all proceeds from the game today at Billy Henderson Stadium in Athens going to Appalachia.
Good for them. Going to hand off to Martin this time right up the middle. He's going to get stopped. He close to the first down, got about a yard. That's going to be Haskell, number 17. He got a yard. It'll be third and one now from the 29-yard line.
And Broncos looking for their first down of the ball game. Mm-hmm. Driving down the 20 after the missed field goal. Got to get to the 30.
2 minutes, 5 seconds left here in the first quarter from the branch, Flowery Branch, the Falcon Field. Overcast day with a little sun trying to peek through. Lefford trying to get a jump over there on this near side. Now they stop. The offense looks over to her side, gets the play. Sekas under center, takes it, going to hand it off to Martin. Martin's going to come across there, push. I think he got it by about the half a yard there, the way the officials are coming in there. They're just on the one side of the 30. It'll be a first down by about half the football, about a half a yard. So it's first down of the day for the Broncos.
Again, it's really funny that we have not seen a measurement since, what, last year?
I think we saw one earlier this year, and that's the only one we've seen.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's like the first one we've seen in a year and a half or so. It's,
yeah.
Yep. Ever since the COVID year, we said probably won't see anymore.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yep. First down to 31. Sekas hands off to his running back. Haskell comes through there and gets about 2, maybe 3 yards up to the 33. Give him credit for 3, the 34. Second down, 6 yards to go for the Broncos. We are under a minute, 59 seconds remaining to play here in the first half. No score in this Region 8-4A game. East Forsyth and Flowery Branch. Sekas up under center, one wide out, way over on the numbers on the far side. I formation, one man trotting along. Now a lot of movement across the line. I think it's going to be
on east.
East, I believe. Let's see. Yep, illegal procedure on East Forsyth. You had two guys on the far side. Looked like Mayo and Harding stood up pretty quick and backed up. And then as soon as they moved, the defensive guys over there moved with them. Poole and Pacheco. Box them up 5. Be second down and 12 now. 40 seconds left here in the first quarter. One man on, one man off. Man coming off is number 16, Jackson Norman. Another new man on there, Trent Polk. He was in earlier. Four receivers. Polk's on the near side, ball in the near hash mark. Three guys on the far side out wide. Martin flip-flops from left to right for Sekas. Sekas puts man in motion, and there's going to be motion again, and Sekas is jumping up and down, so they must have done it again. Another illegal procedure. He put Polk in motion, and I think that's probably what it was. They had two men in motion and didn't get set or whatever,
yep.
And Sekas is jumping up and down like, doggone it, we didn't do it. Mack him up 5 more yards. It'll be second down and about 17 now. Ball will be placed on the 24. They've got to get to 41. I guessed it right, Mike. Second 17.
And you expect him to pass the football, but the way the defense has been for Flying Branch right now, they've done a great job of holding the Broncos.
They have been doing a good job so far. Same set. Guys in motion. Martin comes up right to the right of his quarterback. Sekas looks, rolls out to the far side, looking. Guy from Flower Branch coming up to tackle. Missed that one. He gets around another guy. Comes over to this side to Sekas. Sekas gets up to about the 39-yard line. Finally corralled right there by number 9. That'll end the quarter. Tristan Mendoza finishes that with a tackle. That's the end of the first quarter.
And no score is East Forsyth nothing, Flowery Branch nothing here on 97.5 Glory FM.
On-time service and experience matter for your home's heating and air system. For more than 40 years, Conditioned Air Systems has been North Georgia's solution for residential HVAC installation, maintenance, and repair. Family-owned and operated, we deliver the highest quality service on any brand and model with no hidden fees, promising 100% satisfaction guaranteed. comfort you can feel, quality you can trust. Visit conditionedairsystems.com to schedule an appointment.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
Second quarter action here from Flyer Branch. We bring you high school football on this Saturday afternoon exclusively on 97.5 Glory FM. Joe Gailey, Mike Warford with you here from Falcon Field. Real interesting first half of play. No score between the Broncos and Flyer Branch. Been really a defensive struggle.
Yeah, exactly. Took the words right out of my mouth. But you've been defensive showcase so far. As both teams defensively have been doing pretty well. Thought we had a turnover early on, but it wound up being down, and they had to punt. So they've punted twice, basically, and East for South has it. They are third and about two from their own 39-yard line.
And they're one for three in third down conversions, Joe.
Pitch it out late over there to Martin. Martin's going to be awfully close. A man came up and knocked him down. Who was that masked man? Number nine, Tristan Mendoza came up, hit him, and I believe, yeah, he's going to be short of the first down. It'll be fourth down, I believe, now.
So to make it one for four in third down conversions.
Yep. It's going to be fourth down and one. Ball's at the 40. Let's see if they go for it. They're bringing in their punter, D'Arcangelo. Ball's got to get to the 41. I would think Branch might send will play everybody up tight except the returner out there, Robinson. D'Arcangelo's back to punt. Ball's at their own 40. Just underway here in the second quarter. Snap is good. The punt is good. It's going to be a short one. Just get away from it. The ball will bounce out way over yonder. Let's see where it went out of bounds. Referee's still floating up through there. It'll be 30. Keep walking. 35-yard lines where it'll be spaced out for.
It was a 25-yard punt.
Mm-hmm. Raven County, give you some short scores real quick. Over Providence Christian, 15-7. Prince Avenue, 30-7 over Hart County. Jefferson, 49-0 over West Hall. Appalachia losing to Clark Central, 23-7. 42-14 now, Monroe area over East Hall. Jackson County over East, over Alcove, 13-0. Hebron Christian over East Jackson, 14-0.
All region games, too. Mm-hmm.
Oh, big hole right there. Griffin Harper runs through a couple of guys, but Adam Ginn and Jacob Hoover on the far side that time, going from the right to the left, Mike, gets about 6 yards. Yeah, got about 6 yards. It'll be second down and four. Nice job of running and good job of blocking that time for the Falcons.
Well, again, you see how strong a runner Harper is, Joe.
Mm-hmm. And he's quick enough, he can hit those holes, too. It makes a lot of difference. Everybody in tight. Two guys kind of in flanker position. One guy is a running back. And a handoff to Harper again. Harper kind of picking his hole over there behind Pacheco. And again, gets two more yards. It'll be third down and one. And a guy in motion, that was 24, Garrison, going from right to left. It'll be ball will be placed at the 44, third down and one now. Now to get to the 45, the nose of the football. 10 minutes left here in the second quarter.
And you got to think they're going to run the football, Joe. Don't think they pass on a third and one.
Well, they've been running it fairly successfully, except, you know, that last possession down there, they kind of, you know, had some drawbacks, but then they had the penalty and got them pushed back. And so fairly effectively behind Griffin Harper, that line's doing a fairly good job. Harper, the single setback, one man in motion. Going to give it to Harper. Pitch out on the far side. He has the first down. Ooh, he got tripped up heavy. But he got the first. Oh, the ball came out. As he got flipped up there, but let's see. Yep, it's going to be East Jackson football. All right. As he did that somersault there, they hit him low. The ball came out, and it'll be East Jackson's football on their own 48, East Forsyth, at their own 48-yard line. He got hit low, and when he got flipped over there, the ball came flying out of Harper's hands, and East Forsyth takes over right there at their own 49.
So that's the first turnover of the ball game.
Mm-hmm. Official timeout on the field. I'm going to having to make sure that the chain crew is okay from where all the action took place over there. You might have a injured official or an injured chain crew member or something like that, they're over there talking to folks on the
And usually the chain crew is either somebody in administration or a longtime fan.
Mm-hmm. Usually parents or booster club members that will come down and do it.
So they're going to have a little time out here to make sure they're okay. Join me at halftime. I'll have Matt Hollis, the athletic director at East Forsyth, joining me to talk about Broncos sports.
Pickens and North Hall just underway at Trojan Field at the Brickyard. Homecoming again for North Hall today. I think it's everybody's homecoming, isn't it? First down at the 49 for East Forsyth. Sekas in the shotgun. Trips on the near side, one on the far side. On the far hash mark, one guy in motion. That's Barton. Sekas back to throw it. Throws it to Barton. Barton gets it at around the 48 of Flower Branch. Gets it down to the 46-yard line. So about a 6-yard pickup, 5-yard pickup. It'll be second down and 5 for the Broncos.
Let's see if Flower Branch can rebound from this turnover.
9:36 in the quarter. East Forsyth looks over to the near side to get the play. Chase Rhodes, the receiver on the near side, ball on the far hash mark. Grant Barton. Chase Rhodes on the far side. On the near side. Only two receivers. Going to hand off to the running back, Haskell. Haskell is going to get about 2 yards across the 45 down to the 44 that time. Stopped in there, number 12. Got in there on the tackle. That was Tanner Renard. Made the stop, third down and about 3 yards to go. They've got to get to the 41. The ball's on the 44. Smattering of applause. Mike, the crowd's filled in kind of nicely here after the start of the game. It's not full by any means, but a good little crowd here for these guys here on Saturday afternoon at homecoming. Sekas going to roll. Look to this side. Throws it. Intercepted right at the floor. 35, 40, 50, 40. Got to get behind the guy. Renard picked it off at there, 30. And can run it all the way back to the East Forsyth 32-yard line.
Well, he spotted out now perfectly, Joe.
He did. Flag down at the 36 on the far side, Mike. See what that flag's about. But he was playing spy on that one because the receiver was wide open. Renard came running in and made the pick beautifully. Let's see what the flag is. It's going to be a sideline warning.
That's what I was wondering,
against
Joe.
You
see it happen a lot of times when a turnover, the guys come up toward the sideline, a little too close. That's just a warning.
Just a warning on the first one. It's going to be ball at the 34-yard line. It'll be first and 10. So two turnovers now, a fumble and now an interception. No score with 8:55 left here in the first half from Falcon Field. Everybody in tight. Borey brings them up, looks over to the sideline to get the play call. Looks like big number one, Griffin Harper, in the position behind him. Harper gets it, bounces off one of his offensive linemen and gets about 2 yards down to about the 32 before being stacked up. I think that was their number 22, Nathan Dacus, came in and made the stop.
You know, it's interesting, Joe, that neither team right now is really attempting a pass play. I wonder how the wind's affecting things down there.
Might. We got a flag, a personal foul on East Forsyth. So that'll be a big penalty, and it'll be a big of the Falcons a first down, Mike. Yeah, that penalty came at the 32 after the run play, and that'll be a 10-yard penalty at least, and it'll run it up to a keep walking. It's going to be a 15-yarder.
That'd
be put it inside. Yeah, going to be come inside, right inside the 20 down there. So the ball is going to be placed down at the 17-yard line. So it had to be a late hit. It's personal foul on East Forsyth. So first time inside the red zone for either team today. And the Falcons are the first to be there, 8:41 in the quarter. Borey behind center. And you've got Bletson over here on one side. You got Harper behind. You got one man in motion. That is Garrison. Going to pitch it out and get it over here to this side to number one. And that is Harper. Harper's going to stiff arm a guy at about the 10 and get down to the 10. So he gets about 8 yards, Mike, 7 or 8 yards. And that'll be second down and short for the Branch.
And that first down run has been so important. If you can get more than 5 yards on a first down play, it really sets up what you can do offensively for the Branch.
For sure.
Again, second and 2 for the Falcons.
Second down, 2 yards to go.
Ooh, they called holding against Fire Branch.
Okay.
So bring it back.
Bring it back. It's going to push it back from the line of scrimmage. So it'll be first down and 20. Well, the umpire walked up so far and then kind of walked parallel. So I'm not sure it's not totally from there. It's going to be back at the 28-yard line.
Yep.
So it will be, and they've got to get down to that. So, yeah, it's going to be first
second
down 20. And 20.
Your first and 20, yep.
Yep. Same formation. One wide out this time. Rissanell out far. Going to pitch off to number 15. He gets stopped in the backfield. And number 15 is going to be James Hendry, the running back. And Hendry got knocked for a loss about 2 yards. It's going to be second and 22 now. So Hendry was in. Rissanella was in receiver, but they weren't looking to pass it at all.
Oh, this wind, Joe, you need to get at least down, I would think, to the 20-yard line, because that wind's going to be right in your face.
Yep, I would think so. I think you'd have to be down that far and blow the flags almost sticking straight out there with the wind still blowing from the remnants of the hurricane that blew through Thursday and Friday. Rissanella on the near side now. Three guys out. Look at that. Trips for the Falcons on the far side. Borey in a shotgun. One man behind him. Akers moves up to his right. Oh, quarterback sneak. 25. Gets around the guy. 20. 15. Down inside the 10 to the 9.
Borey with a big play for the Falcons.
How about that? Got it almost back at one big run that time. Borey, little design quarterback run that time. I don't see any laundry on the field, so he's going to be down to the 9. It's going to be third and 1. Third, yeah, great play call by the offensive coordinator for Flair Branch, and good job to get it down there. And he got, 20 of the 22 back. It's going to be third and a long 2.
Harper in.
You got Harper in behind. Back, same formation now, not the same, no wideouts this time. Borey, one man in motion, that's Garrison. Give it to Harper. Harper's going to struggle and get across to maybe the 9, maybe the 8. It's going to be awfully close. It might be still a little short there, Mike. Looks like they got to get down just inside the 8, and it's going to be short by about maybe a yard, 18 inches. Yep. Third down and 1. Fourth down and 1, excuse me. Borey still in at quarterback, obviously. Harper is the running back. A couple of strong guys in there. You've got number 28, Jackson Prehar, coming in. He's going to might be a blocker. Bursinger, the tight end on the far side. Three running backs right straight across behind the quarterback. They're going to give it off to Harper. Harper is going to have the first down, I do believe. Let's look where they spotted at. Branch is saying we got it, and hadn't seen him move the chains yet.
Reminds you of last week's game of Kansas City and the Falcons. I told Harper Bell this morning.
Yep.
It is a first down.
First down.
You got to be able to get 1 yard sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, sir.
The Falcons get with Harper. First and goal.
24 comes in and 21 goes out. That's Garrison coming in for Prehar. Prehar was in there to block, and he did just that. First down and goal at the 7. 5:32 and a quarter. No score between Flower Branch and East Forsyth. Region 8 4A game. Same setup again with three backs behind the quarterback. Boy, he rolls out to the far side. Rolls and rolls. Tries to get around the guy. One guy holds him off back to the 11. That was number 21, I believe, it came in and made the stop that time. Josh Hudson, it looked like, come in and made the stop back at the 11-yard line. So it'll be second and goal from the 11 now.
Lost almost 4 yards of the play.
Tried to string it out to the far side over there, but the good pursuit by the defensive backs and the corners to come up there and make that tackle.
That's what you wish. He just dumped it off out of bounds, Joe, for a pass play.
Harper will go out of the game. Akers in the game. You've got Borey in the shotgun. Four wideouts, three on the near side. Those wideouts are Connell. They're looking, rolling to the far side, throws a short one, incomplete. Rissanella was the intended receiver down inside the 5, and he threw it out in front of him a little too far, and Rissanella couldn't reach it. It'll be third down and goal from the 11.
Neither team has completed a pass yet here in the first half.
Well, East Forsyth did, but it was an interception.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
They completed it to the wrong team, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Third down. Third down and goal. Ball's on the 11. First time either team's been down inside the red zone all day with 4:29 left here in the first half. Tied at zero in this region contest. Boring the shotgun. Moves Harper over to his left. Boy, he takes it himself and does not get anything. That run, that defensive back got in there in a hurry. That was number two, Jeremiah Foote. Gets in there and makes the tackle. He didn't gain a yard on that one, Mike. It'll be fourth and goal from the 11.
Get ready for a field goal attempt.
Griffin Harper. And there's Rissanella in. The ball is just inside the hash mark on the far side at the 11. He'll spot it down at the 18. It'll be a 28-yard attempt. I'm going to say going against the wind, but shouldn't be too bad. Snap, good hole. The kick is up. It's low line drive, but it is good. Falcons lead it 3-0.
Our first score of the ball game comes here in the second quarter. We're back in 1 minute from Five Ranch on 97.5 Glory FM.
At Jackson EMC, innovation is an ongoing cycle, a process without a beginning or an end, where one idea leads to the next. Solar power, electric vehicle program, energy-efficient right choice homes, automated switch technology. What we do as an industry is vital. We keep communities powered, so we must always have an eye on the future. Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top-quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
Back to school shouldn't mean back to the doctor.
And back here trying to get some scores here around the area. Still nothing updated. Trying to see if there's a final score yet.
A little pooch kick right across the top line right there. It came down and bounced it to about the 36 and rolled back to about the 33-yard line. East Forsyth did recover. That was number 20 that did the recovering for East Forsyth. That is Davis Downs, one of the up backs, caught it, and it will be East Forsyth's football. They were trying to surprise him a little bit right there, Michael, I do believe. Maybe try to catch him asleep. Jackson County on top of Alcove 20-0. East Jackson losing to Hebron Christian 28-0. That's really the only two fairly local scores I've got other than ones Michael's already given you so far today. East Forsyth, Sakis in the shotgun. Four wideouts, one guy in motion, one back behind him. That's Haskell looking to pass. Now he's going to run to the near side, to 30, the 35, the 40, and out of bounds around the 41-yard line. He'll get about eight. And it'll be second down and two for the Broncos. He opened it up in there, Mike, and when he did, everybody was playing good pass defense, and but it gave him plenty of room to run, and he was able to just run over towards his bench. Got 8 yards on the carry, just across the 41, got to get to the 43. I'm going to call it second down and two with 3:33 left here in the first half from Flair Branch. Branch leads it 3-0. Sakis claps the hands, takes the football, looks to pass, throws it quickly over here, complete. Got the first down over here to number four, Chase Rhodes. First pass completion of the day. Got it right to midfield. Rhodes caught about the 48. And one man came up there and helped make the tackle. That was number five, Tripp Morris, on the tackle for the Falcons. First down right at the 50 for the Broncos. Four men down line on the defensive side of the football, a 4-4, if you will, or a 4-3. Might bring a man up. Sakis in the shotgun. Four wideouts, three on the far side. Sakis takes it, fakes it to his running back, gives it to Rhodes. Rhodes meets the tackle at the 40 down to the 36-yard line. Nice open field tackle by number 12 that time. And Tanner Renard. Rhodes made a nice catch right there, Mike, at around the 42. Got away from, bounced off a tackler and gets the first down to the 37-yard line. Be first and 10 for the Broncos.
You know, they may run the football the rest of the quarter. They could run out probably the clock here in the quarter.
Mm-hmm. One guy back there with him. That was Haskell looking to throw again. He throws a little lob right over the top of everybody. Incomplete. Intended receiver was Rhodes, picking on Rhodes that time, and his defender Morris, and threw it over everybody. Did a fade. He almost got hit from behind. Number 21 came in there on the far side, Prehar, and almost made a tackle, or almost could, was close enough to maybe knock the ball out as he released it on the pass. Clock stops at 2:36. Falcons lead it 3-0 here in the second quarter.
Everybody has all their timeouts. Sakis has been ineffective here, Joe, in the first half, including one interception to Renard.
Sakis rolls out to the far side, looks. Now he's going to run it up the middle, 40. Now he's going to just dive as he saw it all collapsing on him. Renard in there to help knock him down at the 35-yard line. It'll be third down and about 8, I'll say, from the 38-yard line. Got to get down to the 27-and-a-half-yard line. 2:12 left here in the first half. Offense for East Forsyth looks over to the sideline to get their sign. Trips on this side, receiving. Ball's almost right square in the middle of the field at the 35. Sakis with Haskell on his right side. Sakis looks, throws it right over the middle. Incomplete. Rhodes broke in. He threw it to the outside. Sakis couldn't hang on. It'll be incomplete. Make up a fourth down and 8.
And then might as well go for it, Joe.
Yep. Four down territory.
I mean, deep here in the second quarter, why not?
Ball's to 30. You're under 2 minutes to play. So 110 seconds left, basically. You got a timeout call by the Falcons. That's their second of the game. They have one left.
Let's take a look, Joe. This time, let's take a 30-second timeout. Back with more here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Back to school shouldn't mean back to the doctor. Make sure you go to Riverside Pharmacy for all of your health needs. They have everything from hand sanitizers to all of the vitamins you'll need. But if your child does get sick, then the expert pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy can get your family back to school by filling all of your prescriptions. They'll even deliver them in the Gainesville area. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
And we're back here, Joe.
And fourth down, 8 yards to go, 4 East Forsyth. Sakis is in at quarterback, so this is four down territory. 3-0, Falcons lead it. Three wideouts, two on the near side, one on the far side. One back behind Sakis. One guy kind of offset in a kind of in a flanker position. Now we're going to have a timeout called by East Forsyth.
Right, let's try it again, Joe. Let's take another 1 minute timeout here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too. I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Back here at the branch. Fourth down. They're going for it. It is East Forsyth. Fourth down and 8 from the branch 35. Sakis trying to draw them off sides. Flair branch being set. Three wideouts. Sakis gets it. Looking, rolling to the near side. Throws it complete. Down to the 25. Man gets away from him. He trips up around the 21. He's going to have the first down. That was number 21 that caught the pass. 13 Franks caught the ball. Number 21 then on the stop, I believe that was Ashton Prehar. Yeah, they made the stop. But they got the first down, Mike. Minute 35. 95 seconds left in the half. 3-0. Branch with the lead. They will get it to come out the second half. Three wide from the far side. They throw it on the far side. Complete over there to the one of the guys that's been in the backfield, some Grant Barden. Barden, in a hurry, plows on down, gets about 8 yards down inside the 15 to the 14.
Clock still runs, though.
Yeah, clock is running. 1:12 and running here in the first half. Three wideouts on the near side, one on the near. Ball's on the far hash mark. Haskell gets on the right side of his quarterback, Sakis. Sakis looks to pass, throws it right over here to this side, tries to go to Barden again. Barden caught it and dove across the 10 down to about the 8-yard line. He gets the first down. He got a flag on the far side of the field. Might have some movement against these Forsyth.
Let's wait and see.
Referee, the white hat, Heath, comes over here. Illegal receiver against East Forsyth. That'll penalize them 5 yards, and they'll push that one back, Mike.
That was quick.
Second down, but that'll make it, but it'll still be second down, but it'll be second and 7, I believe, now, after they mark it off. Ball will be back at the 20. Second down is 7 with 51 seconds remaining here in the first half. East Forsyth with the football. Far hash mark, Sakis with Haskell behind him. Four wideouts, three on the near side. Rhodes, Barden, and Frank on the near side. Polk on the far side. Sakis takes it, fakes, throws a fade pattern up over the top. Got a man, Rhodes, complete in the back of the end zone. Touchdown, East Forsyth.
Well, that was quite
flag. Flag coming in at the end, and there's two East Forsyth guys back there. I don't know what it would be. You know, celebration penalty, which that wasn't much of a celebration, but let's see. It was on them. He's talking to Coach Tester, so it'll be against East Forsyth on the kick. A touchdown is good. It'll be unsportsmanlike on East Forsyth after the touchdown. It will be 6-3, and they'll get to attempt the extra point. They're probably on the kickoff. Will they take it? There'll be 29 seconds remaining. They'll kick it from the 10 on the extra point, so the penalty will be assessed on the kickoff. Sakis will hold her, and Aguilera, Johnny Aguilera, will be the extra point man, soccer-style kicker from the 10. Snap, the hold is good. The kick is up plenty high enough, and it is good. 7-3 now. East Forsyth leads it.
And we'll keep it right here, closing out the first half here on 97.5 Glory FM. The scores for you, final score was Chesapeake 56, and it was Johnson nothing. Also, it was that right now in the first quarter, North Hall 8, Pickens 7 in the Trojans homecoming game.
8-7. Pitching duel, huh?
Yeah.
29 seconds left. Now, you know, Flyer Branch would like nothing better than to come down and get at least three, you know, or score a touchdown here after they penalize this on here. And the thing is, Mike, is after this, they get the ball to start the second half. Now, you're only down by four right now, but if they could score again, they'd give them a little more momentum. But you got to do it in a hurry, 29 seconds and only one timeout left. That penalty is going to push it down to the 25, that unsportsmanlike. So they're bringing everybody up. He might be one of those pop-up kicks, what I was kind of presume. You'll have Robinson back, Tyler Robinson, and Parker Burry back deep, but I don't suspect either one of those young men to catch this kickoff. East Forsyth, the kicker will kick it off. That's going to be Titus Dericangelo, I think, putting it down there. Turn around there, Titus. Nope, that's going to be Aguilera. He's doing both sides of the football. Aguilera kicking it. Front line of Flyer Branch at the 35 this time. There's a kick, high kick, going to come down short. Borey gets it to the 25, the 30. A man gets down there in a hurry, tackles him right at the 30-yard line. They're going to say he got to the 32, and it'll be first and 10 with 23 seconds left for the Falcons, Mike.
And not much you can do, Joe.
No, not a lot you can do right there. 7-3, though, defensively. Been a defensive game so far. Branch has it at the 32. Riley Borey will bring them out. The big lineman will come out of there. Griffin Harper in the backfield. Along with number 21, Ashton Prehar. Three guys straight across the line behind him. Almost, hardly stationed like the old wishbone. Going to hand it off to Harper. Harper looking for a hole. Can't find one. Got hit at the 33 and got pushed back. Give him, going to give him forward progress to the 34, so give him about two. Clock's under 12, 11, 10. And most likely it's going to be the end of the half. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And that'll be the halftime right there as East Forsyth scores right before halftime, and they lead it 7-3 in this Region 8-4 game.
It's been a nice first half of play so far with East Forsyth on top by a score of 7-3. We're back with our United Community Halftime Report coming up next here on 97.5 Glory FM.
United Community is a bank that asks, when it comes to your finances, how do you define success? Knowing your bank has your financial future right on course? Having a banking partner that's ready with a plan when opportunity knocks? Or maybe it's a digital banking experience that puts everything at your fingertips, even at your daughter's soccer game. However you define success, United Community's trusted bankers are here for you. Success, it takes a community, a united community. Learn more at ucbi.com. Member FDIC.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
If you need on-time, expert plumbing service, Conditioned Air Systems is here for you. Our plumbers deliver the highest quality service in North Georgia 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. We've been North Georgia's source for elite residential and commercial services since 1983. Our licensed plumbers offer services for installation and repairs of pipes, water heaters, septic lines, and sump pumps. Choose Conditioned Air Systems for quality service and unmatched knowledge for your plumbing needs.
It's time for our halftime report, brought to you by United Community on 97.5 Glory FM.
And back here, I think I got my microphone corrected. Sorry about the problems I had here for a few moments. And we're scheduled to have Matt Hollis, the athletic director at East Forsyth, that joins me. He's down on the field on the sidelines right now doing some work. But we'll bring you as much as we can here at halftime. It is homecoming for the Falcons. Joe Gailey, Mike Warford with you here. Our partners, Gary Glenn and Harper O'Bell, not with us today. Harper is getting ready with Dave Cohen to bring you Georgia State football at the end of our broadcast today at 3 p.m. Gary Glenn is out with his grandsons who are playing rec ball today, so we wish them the best, and we'll see them next Friday as we'll be at West Hall once again for our region matchup, Region 8 AAA next week, as it will be Cherokee Bluff going up against West Hall next Friday at the Hot Gates at Spartan Field. Let's recap some of the scores here, Joe. We got in the first half. Once again, it's final score over at the Dungeon as it is Chesapeake on top of Johnson. Final score in that region game, 56-0, the final in that one for the War Eagles. Their second win of the season. Also, not a final yet, but just halftime scores will have. It is Jefferson on top of West Hall. Last score we had was 49-0 in favor of the Dragons. Last score we had with Monroe area and East Hall was 42-14 in favor of Monroe area. And North Hall is leading Pickens 8-7 in the first quarter at the Brickyard at Lincoln Trail Stadium.
Hebron Christian over East Jackson 42-0. In second quarter, Jackson County over Alcove 27-0. Second quarter, I think I just told you the Monroe East Hall game. Prince Avenue over Hart County 36-7 in the third quarter. Clark Central over Appalachia 23-7 in the third quarter. Raven County 29-7 over Providence Christian in the third quarter is what that one says right there. And some other matchups, but they're going to come in later today. Stevens County at Franklin County at 7 tonight. Eastside will be playing at Madison County at 7. Also, Oglethorpe at Athens Academy this evening. Cherokee County hosting a game at 3 this afternoon against Etowah. Big inter-county rivalry over there in Cherokee County. So some big games there, big college games going on. Let me get over here to my other app where I can tell you some of those. It's fun kind of having a phone, but then you're like, oh, I need all these things open. Ole Miss over Kentucky, second quarter 7-3. Michigan over Minnesota 7-0 in the second quarter. BYU over Baylor 27-7 second quarter. Kansas State over Oklahoma State 7-3. Big one coming up at 7:30 tonight over in Tuscaloosa, Alabama and Georgia. And depending on which side you're on, you either Roll Tide or Go Dawgs on that one. Nebraska and Purdue scoreless in the second quarter up at Purdue with that game today. And so it's recapping the score in here. Had a field goal there late in the second quarter by Brooks Rissanella. I believe it was about a 20-something yarder for him. I didn't write it down. And made it 3-0. It's been a defensive battle up to that and still really was. And then after a penalty and a long of, excuse me, East Forsyth was able to go down and get a touchdown with under a minute left, with 29 seconds to be correct there. A touchdown pass over to Chase Rhodes from Brock Zekas for the touchdown, and the extra point was complete by Aguilera to give them a 7-3 lead.
And the field goal battle was 28 yards for Flyer Brasco, and thought they were going to have the lead, but a good drive for the Broncos mm-hmm. to end the first half.
All passing there. I mean, we kind of jinxed them there because we said they hadn't completed the pass, and then boom, 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 went right down there on that last position and scored on that one with, 3 out of 4 passing.
All right, so I think I got my situation, my technical difficulty straightened out here.
Good deal.
And, unfortunately, I can't get with Coach Hollis. I'll call him. Coach is Matt. Great friend, Ben. He's down there on the sidelines right now. He can't come to the press office. We cannot come down there, Matt, so we will not have him. And, again, great friends with at East Forsyth. School's located on John Down Road. Already in their fourth year, Joe. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how time flies there. And you can hear our station clear as well. By the way, if you have not heard 97.5 Glory FM lately, this week we made some technical upgrades, and I think we sound better than ever. And so you can hear us at both campuses here at Flyer Branch and also at East Forsyth. And we encourage you to tune in to our broadcast. And, of course, so many people out and about today. Hey, you can go to our website, WGTJradio.com. Click on our football replay tab. You get a chance to hear this game anytime online on demand. Again, at halftime, it's East Forsyth 7, Flyer Branch 3. We're back with more of the United Community Halftime Report after this timeout on 97.5 Glory FM.
United Community is a bank that asks, when it comes to your finances, how do you define success? Knowing your bank has your financial future right on course? Having a banking partner that's ready with a plan when opportunity knocks? Or maybe it's a digital banking experience that puts everything at your fingertips, even at your daughter's soccer game. However you define success, United Community's trusted bankers are here for you. Success, it takes a community, a United Community. Learn more at ucbi.com. Member FDIC.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Bushton, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
As an electric cooperative, Jackson EMC must always have an eye on the future, exploring the newest innovations taking place in every area of our business. Ideas that lead to a better use of resources and improved ways of conducting business. Automated switch technology, iPads in the field, and internal networking that enable us to pinpoint outages, access complex mapping, and provide faster response times. Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top-quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
It's time for our sports medicine update from NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine.
97.5 Glory FM. Time to talk to representative from NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine. We're talking with Dr. Brett Meeks. And Dr. Meeks, thanks for being with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself, sir.
Well, thanks for having me, Mike. I really appreciate it. Happy to talk to you today. Like you said, I'm working for Northeast Georgia Physicians Group. I'm an orthopedic surgeon specializing in sports medicine and knee and shoulder surgery. I see patients around the age of 14, 15, and all the way up to older folks as well. And I practice at the Gainesville Medical Park one location. I see patients there, and I also see patients in Dawsonville one day a week. That's pretty much kind of the long and short of it for me. What other questions do you have for me?
Well, tell me this. So how many patients do you see on a regular basis? I'm sure you're busy every day now, aren't you?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, my schedule is a mix of obviously being in clinic and then being in the operating room. So every day is a little bit variable, but it can be anywhere up to, you know, 20 to 30 patients on busy days, and then several surgeries in a day, just kind of depending on what it looks like and how the schedule rolls.
Wow, it's amazing. There's that many people needing help at NGPG. So I'm assuming the younger patients have the acute injuries and someone older like myself will be the chronic injuries.
That's correct. I mean, I would say, you know, for the most part, the younger folks are the ones with more acute injuries. But sometimes older folks and weakened warriors, they also have, you know, acute injuries, whether, you know, that's sort of an acute pickleball injury, or sometimes people, you know, will fall off a ladder and injure their shoulder. So we kind of see the whole gamut of injuries. And I would say older folks is both acute and chronic. And then the younger folks are more acute usually, but sometimes those people also have sort of nagging injuries and, you know, turns into more of a chronic situation as well.
Now, I know you see a lot of athletes, especially the younger people, but also older people, I'm sure, that a lot of get out, you say, and participate in some weekend sports. They're also having the acute injuries, aren't they?
That's correct, yeah. We see a lot of acute injuries, you know, whether – you think about sort of a somebody active in their 40s, maybe, you know, they're playing some pickup basketball and have sort of an acute Achilles tendon rupture, or, you know, like I mentioned pickleball before, that's certainly been a craze lately. And, you know, we definitely see some acute injuries with that. And kind of, yeah, it's really a mix of injuries, but we're certainly a resource for people. And, you know, I always recommend that patients, if, you know, err on the side of caution. You know, it's one thing to have an ankle sprain and kind of nurse that back to health, but certainly if you feel like something's not right, it's always a good idea to get checked out and do that earlier rather than later.
All right, so you mentioned ankles, also with knees. If someone, you know, is experiencing pain, for example, they don't really know if it's acute or if it's chronic type of issue, so they can just go into your office and you can examine them and give them some kind of course of treatment, right?
That's correct, yeah. And, we you know, we always like to start conservative, and you know, a lot of times we recommend physical therapy and over-the-counter medications if we feel like there's nothing alarming on the physical examination. But, you know, sometimes we see stuff that we think is more worrisome, some red flags occasionally, and then in those scenarios we may opt to get advanced imaging, you know, whether that's an MRI can kind of give us some better sense of what's going on with the soft tissue and gives us a little more information than standard x-rays. But, yeah, I think, again, you know, I think erring on the side of caution is always important. And, you know, a lot of the high school-aged athletes, collegiate-aged athletes, they're fortunate to be able to work with athletic trainers. And certainly NGPG has a whole host of athletic trainers throughout the school systems. And I think those are really the first point of contact for the athletes. And so those folks usually have their pulse on the athletes. And they reach out to us quickly and let us know if they think something's wrong, and they can help facilitate getting an appointment as well.
All right, with that, they can make an appointment, or a lot of times they can go out on Monday morning and go right into your clinic, right?
That's correct, yeah. We have a sort of a black and blue clinic on Mondays where patients can come in and see a provider. Just a lot of times with weekend injuries, whether that's, you know, during the basketball season or after after football in the fall. And so that's a kind of an easy route to be seen. But certainly we have a whole host of providers and happy to get anybody in that needs to be seen as well.
All right, you said you're at Medical One Plaza, right?
That's correct, yes. I'm at Medical Park One in Gainesville. I'm there a few days a week, and then we also see patients in our office in Dawsonville. So we're right off of 453 in Dawsonville.
Well, that's a great location there for our listeners up and down the Georgia Highway 400 area. Thanks to Dr. Brett Meeks. We got much more for you coming up next here on 97.5 Glory FM.
United Community is a bank that asks, when it comes to your finances, how do you define success? Knowing your bank has your financial future right on course? Having a banking partner that's ready with a plan when opportunity knocks? Or maybe it's a digital banking experience that puts everything at your fingertips, even at your daughter's soccer game. However you define success, United Community's trusted bankers are here for you. Success, it takes a community, a united community. Learn more at ucbi.com. Member FDIC.
Back to school shouldn't mean back to the doctor. Make sure you go to Riverside Pharmacy for all of your health needs. They have everything from hand sanitizers to all of the vitamins you'll need. But if your child does get sick, then the expert pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy can get your family back to school by filling all of your prescriptions. They'll even deliver them in the Gainesville area. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too. I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Now, more of the United Community Halftime Report on 97.5 Glory FM.
And Joe and Mike with you here from halftime at Flyer Branch Falcon Field. Joe, we now have a new homecoming queen here at Flyer Branch.
Miss Mia Davis. Congratulations to Mia, being the 24-25 homecoming queen here at Flyer Branch High School.
And we've missed Gary giving us the Burt Parks rendition of what the ladies were wearing today.
Well, I can promise you, as I was looking on, they all had long flowing gowns, sparkling, and they all had the slit up the side, of course. And I'm looking at Mia with her dad down there right now with the red roses. Hers is a light blue with sparkles, the sparkly, and she has the crown on, walking over to get dozens of pictures made now from her admirers and family, I would say. So congratulations to the homecoming court and the homecoming queen, Mia Davis, of Flyer Branch High School this afternoon.
23rd homecoming queen here at Flyer Branch.
23rd. And athletic director, Jimmy Lawler, who I've known for 100 years and you've known for almost 98 years, he has been here since day one, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
Yep. Jimmy and I had the pleasure of playing ball with him years ago. He plays his high school ball at Johnson. A good standout athlete in baseball and basketball back in the day. And,
yes, he was.
And played a little softball with Jimmy as we came through our 20s and 30s. And good friends with him. And that's one advantage for us, I feel like, Mike, is that between you and I, that we've built a really good rapport with all the coaches and ADs here in the county and around the area. You know, Matt Hollis over at East Forsyth and the folks at Lumpkin and White and Dawson, you built a really good rapport with them. And because we have been around so long, knowing a lot of these guys in their second and third terms, we know a lot of folks for sure.
No doubt about it. Again, a lot going on. Hurricane Helene really causing a lot of devastation, and our hearts go out to the people down in South Georgia with the crops down there, and also up in North Carolina, to the west of Asheville, west of Biltmore, there, Lake Lure, that beautiful place has been devastating. I wonder if there's any water left in Lake Lure because the dam, it fell yesterday and collapsed, and this rushed water all the way through that portion of Rutherford County in North Carolina. Last report I heard was 44 people have lost their lives in four states.
15 here in Georgia. One was a first responder down in South Georgia. Assistant fire chief was responding to a call down in South Georgia and was hit by a tree that was falling, fell on his vehicle as he was responding to the call. But, yeah, you mentioned Lake Lure. I was telling you about the Highway 107 bridge up in it's gone. I saw a video of it just washed away. And then half of I-40 is gone. That's a huge interstate, if you will, going up close to Asheville and getting the kind of in the fast way in, still going to back roads. And half of it's gone now. So it's going to be taking a while on that mountainous terrain to rebuild that rascal, that's for sure.
And also down in Florida, I'm very familiar with the Tampa Bay area there, and I'm curious about there at the airport and also Raymond James Stadium for the Buccaneers, that kind of thing. They say Clearwater Beach has just been devastated by the hurricane from that standpoint. So hearts go out to them. So, you know, all these games being postponed. There's Monday Night Football, Lumpkin County playing at White County, Riverside playing at Lakeview Academy. Right now in the second quarter near halftime at North Hall, it's North Hall 15, Pickens 14. And again, final score, Chesity over Johnson, 56-0. War Eagle second win of the season. And again, we'll get more scores for you here on 97.5 Glory FM. And again, we'll have college football today at 3 p.m. The Panther pregame show, State Not Southern, with Dave and Harper. We'll have the kickoff that game at 3:30. Coming up next, we'll get ready for the second half of our game between Flyer Branch and East Forsyth here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
Your home is part of you, and keeping it comfortable and well-maintained is essential. Conditioned Air Systems is North Georgia's solution for residential heating, air, and plumbing services. For more than 40 years, our family has been committed to delivering the highest quality service by our certified technicians and plumbers. Experience the difference today when you choose Conditioned Air Systems for your home's heating, air, and plumbing needs. Quality you can feel, service you can trust. Visit conditionedairsystems.com to schedule an appointment.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
This has been the United Community Halftime Report on 97.5 Glory FM. The second half kickoff is coming up next.
And we'll get ready for it here from Falconville. Joe Gailey, Mike Warford with you, updating scores again. It is now, look at this, the final score late in the ball game. It is Jefferson on top of West Hall, 49-14. Monroe area over East Hall, 42-21. Late first half of play at the Brickyard at Lincoln Trail Stadium. North Hall looking to celebrate homecoming with a victory as they lead Pickens 22-14 there in the first half of that one. And Joe and I will be with you along with Harper and Gary next Friday night from the hot gates of Spartan Field, as it will be Cherokee Bluff taking on West Hall in a Region 8 AAA matchup. Our broadcast begins with the Long Street Cafe pregame show at 7:05. Kickoff will be at 7:30 right here on your radio station for North Georgia Sports, 97.5 Glory FM. And again, coming up after our game, college football with Georgia State and Georgia Southern and the Georgia Grown Bowl from Center Park Stadium there in Atlanta with Dave Cohen and Harper LaBelle.
So if it's a Georgia Grown Bowl, does that mean they have peaches and boiled peanuts? Because if they do, we're in the wrong place.
Go find out.
Harper needs to bring us some boiled peanuts back if you do that, brother. I hear you. As we get lined up here to start the second half, Flower Branch will receive the kickoff. You have Robinson back there along with Parker Borey to receive the opening kickoff here in the second half. Number 26, Johnny Aguilera will be kicking it from the 40. East for South will be going left to right as you look at your radio dial this half, this quarter. Flower Branch will be going right to left. There's the kickoff. High and deep. Parker Burry will come down with it. No, he will not. It's going to be 2 yards deep in the end zone, so he cannot run it out. It'll be a touchback, and Flower Branch will start it first and 10 from their own 20 to start the second half. 7-3 your score. East Forsyth scoring with 29 seconds remaining there in the first half. See what they can get going here in the second half, Mike, as they have the opportunity to come down and score and put some more points on the board.
Game of scores in the first quarter. Both teams scoring in the second quarter.
First down at the 20. Flower Branch comes out. One receiver in a tight end position. Tyler Robinson split out a little bit more to this side. Brooks Rossinella on the far side. Griffin Harper gets the handoff. No, the quarterback, Borey, is going to keep it himself, get about 2 yards before he's met by a host of white jerseys and push back. But they're going to give him forward progress to the 22. It'll be second down and 8 now for the Falcons.
Again, a beautiful day here at Flyer Branch, but that wind really made a difference in the first half, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. The looking down at the flag is completely limp at this point, but yeah, in the first half it knocked a couple of balls that were punted down and blew the tees down the far side, but it made a difference. And luckily there was no more punts than there was. It made a difference on that one field goal attempt. That was a long one, but it knocked it down pretty quick and didn't make it, but kicked it into the wind on the other one down the 28-yarder and kicked it through easily. Second down 8. Borey takes it, pitches it out to Harper. Harper got a little bit of a hole out to the 25, maybe the 26, and knocked down there. Looked like the lead tackle on that was Dathan Dekus. He was knocked down at the 27. Third down about 3 now for the Falcons. As Mike said, 22-14, North Hall leads Pickens. Hebron Christian over East Jackson, 45-0. Jackson County, 41-0 over Al Covey. Pretty much everybody's in region play at this point, aren't they, Mike?
Yes.
Third down, about 3 yards to go. Ball's to 27. Everybody in tight on this one. Borey up under center. One man in motion. Give it to Harper. Harper comes right behind that line. Gets two. Falls to the 29. And gets about 2 yards.
Short.
Going to be short a yard. Fourth down and 1. Now, decision to make. You don't want to give the other team short yardage, but you want to try and get it here with short yardage to go. In all honesty, they look pretty good on short yardage in the first half. I would think they'd go with it.
It sort of reminds me of when Coach Tetchel was an assistant at St. Pius, how they used to do the football, run it.
They're going to line up with those Borey up under center. The three backs lined up really close. It might be the tush push on this one, as we call it. Everybody, all 11 guys are close, and that's what they're trying to do, get that 1 yard in there. According to them, the ball came loose. East Forsyth has been saying ball's down. East Forsyth gets it at the 32-yard line after it was popped out of there. And number 3 comes away with the football, Kellen Moran for East Forsyth. And the officials say it is East Forsyth football at the 32 up for South. East for South.
It's the second fumble by Flyer Branch today, Joe.
Coach Tester is looking over there. He's not too happy with the call, but it popped out of there, and it'll be East for South football at the 32 of Flyer Branch. Second fumble of the day. As Mike just said, 3 turnovers total as Flyer Branch was able to get an interception from Sakis in the first half. First down and 10 to 32 now for East Forsyth. Sekas in the shotgun. Three wideouts on the near side. Looking to throw that fade again. He does. Up in the air. Going to Rhodes. Over his head by about 2 yards. Incomplete. Be second down. You notice they went from running it in the first quarter and a half, and now they've thrown it this last two possessions. Nothing but just about it, Mike. Other than that one running play that Sekas took off and got about 8 or 10 yards, they've just about thrown it every other down.
It puts you in a passing situation now, Joe, with a second and long.
Exactly. 9:23 in the quarter. East Forsyth up by 4, 7-3. Sekas with one man right behind him. That is Martin. Three wideouts, two on the far side this time. Rhodes on the near side. Ball's on the near hash mark. Moves Martin over to his right side to Sekas. Throws it out to the far side over the top of his head. Intended receiver was Grant Barden, and threw it. He needed to hit Barden right around the letters, which would have been about 5'10". He threw it about 6'8". So Barden couldn't hardly get there. So it'll be third down and 10 from the 32-yard line.
Joe Northall scored again. It's now Trojans 29, Pickens 14.
Wow. That was quick, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Of course, they've been kind of explosive the last couple of weeks with their touchdowns and
yes,
the passing
they
game they have. Sekas started out, then he stops. Everybody stands up, looks at the offensive sideline, puts Martin over to his right. Does Sekas? Sekas takes a snap, throws it out to Rhodes on the far side. Martin, oh, and he gets hit right at the line of scrimmage. Number one, Griffin Harper from his linebacker position comes in and sticks him. It'll be fourth and 10.
So here, what do you call for Coach Dustin Cannon of East Forsyth?
He's leaving everybody in there on the offensive side of the football. He's got one, two wideouts on the near side. That's going to be Rhodes and Barden on this side. One guy on the far side looks like Frank. One guy in a slot, one running back, which is Martin. Sekas, play clock at 17. Moves Martin, takes it, rolls to the near side to Sekas. Sekas looks, throws it over the top, incomplete. It hit the ground. Had a diving man in a white jersey. Still would have been short of the first down. The intended receiver was Chase Rose, but it was over on downs after the incomplete pass. So on four downs, on four straight passes, Flower Ranch holds them and will take back over possession at their own.
You said
32.
Earlier, as Larry Munson would say, just saved ourselves again. You
saved ourselves again, exactly right.
Hey, the Firebrand's defense has really done a great job. It's that one drive there to end the first half, and they missed a play there on a pass play, and it was the only touchdown of the ball game so far. 7-3, Broncos on top of the Falcons here in the third.
East Hall making a game of it down at Monroe, Mike, 42-28 now. Little misdirection. Give it over to Borey Parker on the far side. First down, almost down to the 50-yard line.
Big pickup for the Branch.
Parker went around the far side, going to get out to the 47. So about a 15-yard pickup on first down. Big run behind Bursinger and Cummins. Hoover on the far side. Down to the 48, they'll mark it. First down and 10. Biggest running play of the day for the Falcons, Mike.
Yes, it is.
First down and 10. Balls at their own 48, 8:09 here in the third quarter. 7-3 lead by the Broncos. One man in the formation behind Borey. Borey gives it off to that man. I think it was Harper. Might have been Hakers. Let's see when he gets up. It will be Harper. Harper gets about 4 yards. It'll be second and 6. Now ball's across midfield at the 48. So from the 48 to the 48. 4 yard pickup. Second down 6 now for the Falcons.
They're using that play clock, Joe.
Yes, they are. Riley Borey brings them up. 20 seconds on the play clock. One man in center. A couple of guys signing slot position. One man in motion. Going to hand it off to one of those men. He cuts inside. 45. Ball came out. Who's going to be on top? Luckily, who? Ball still loose. Who fell on it? Branch saying they fell on it. You had two big linemen were trailing in there. Let's see who fell on top of it. And they're going to say Branch fell on top of it. The side judge said Branch fell on top of it. I believe that was big number 58. Adam Ginn that fell on top of it. My catcher fell forward. It'll be a first down is what they're saying at the 42-yard line for the Branch. Very advantageous right there. I think it was 24 Ryland Garrison kind of on that misdirection. Came through there with it, and he got stuck right on the helmet on the ball, and it popped out, but it popped forward. One lineman fell on it. Another guy hit it. It popped out. Another lineman fell on it that time. Looked like Adam Ginn fell on top of it for the first down for the Falcons. Ball on the 42 now. Same set. One guy in motion to the far side. Going to give it to Harper. Harper trying to make something out of nothing that time. Gets about a yard. Yep, got to the 41. And that was Griffin Harper. Got one. Be second down and nine now. One man was in motion. That was number seven, Jacob Akers. Missanella will come in now. And a receiver. Second down. A long eight, short nine for the Falcons. 6:18 here in the third quarter. Same set. One man behind the quarterback. Borey back to pass. Looking. Rolls out to his right. He ought to run it. He threw it. Complete. Down to the 15-yard line. That was number 24. Rolling Garrison comes down with that one.
And finally, he got a completion, Joe.
He had all day to run it on that far side and threw it up. Had a defender in Garrison stop. The defender went by him. Garrison caught it, and he fell right there at the 12-yard line. How about that? From the, what was that, 42 down to the 12. That's a 30-yard completion. Is that right?
So it looks like it.
Yep. 5:51. Second time they've been in the red zone down there. First down at the 12. Little misdirection, trying to go to Garrison, coming around the near side. Oh, one man caught him right there at the 12 and knocked him down. That was number seven, Gus Martin. Running back, plays defense also, came up and knocked down Garrison at the 12. No gain, second down and 10.
24 Garrison ball carrier. No gain, bring up second and 10 from the 12.
Now what do you call? Do you dare try another pass play?
Second down. 10 yards to go. Ball is at the 12-yard line. Nose of the football touching the 12. You've got Akers in one slot, Garrison in the other. One running back. Coming over here to Garrison. Garrison trying to get through. He does, down to the 5, the 4-yard line. Got through, big block there behind Max Scott. Came from the right side over the left side, and a big tackle. Max Scott opened enough of a hole for Garrison to cut back in behind and got it all the way down to the 4-yard line. Third down, about two to get the first down. If number two for East Forsyth stays where he is, he's going to be offside because he is standing on the 5.
Definitely sure four down territory for the Falcons.
Yes, sir. Well, with it within the red zone, as they call it, 4:13 in the quarter. Good-looking drive so far. Not to jinx them, knock on wood up here. Three power backs in the backfield. Borey takes the snap. Hands off to one man. We've got a flag on the play before. It looks like offsides, yeah. Referee on the side, judge on this side saying offsides by the defense. That'll move it half of what it is. It'll make it down third and about a yard and a half now.
Yeah, half the distance doesn't take it very far downfield, but closer play for the Falcons.
Listen, that might give him a first down. It's really close right there. It is. That's going to give him a first down, Mike. It's inside the 2.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
How about that
part? Yeah. First and goal at the 2. Huge penalty that time because that half the distance marching on down there. You could put them about a half yard inside the first down marker, and they got it. First down and goal.
They got four chances to score.
Mm-hmm. Ashton Prehar back there with Harper. Going to give it off to Prehar, I believe. They're going to push and push. Touchdown, Falcons! Number 20, D'Artavius Bletson with the touchdown.
So it took a while for the Brants to get their first touchdown of the ball game, and they've now taken the lead. Yep.
Yeah, it's touchdown. That was Jackson Prehar, though. I called out the wrong number. Jackson Prehar with the touchdown, Michael.
So Prehar, the transfer into Flying Branch, playing his first season. The Falcon gets the touchdown.
I thought it was 20, but it was 28 that scored there. Now the extra point attempt by Rissanella. The hold by Harper. The kick is up, and it is a pop-up, and it is good. 10-7 The Branch with the lead.
And we're back at 1 minute from Fly Branch here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Innovation at Jackson EMC.
To me, innovation is taking technology and doing something new with it.
I'm working with a global company. We're helping them be able to reduce their carbon footprint through some of our programs.
Here at Jackson EMC, we embrace innovation, such as solar power, electric vehicle programs, energy efficient Right Choice homes. Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top-quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
They try to go with the onside kick, and it comes down at the 46-yard line of East Forsyth, and one of the upbacks caught it right there. That'd be number 9, who is Knox Allen, a linebacker. And it will be their football coach, Tester, talking to the side judge on the far side as four of the officials are huddled here at the top of the F on the FB logo to discuss what just happened. I do not see Laundrie on the field, so I'm waiting to see what the call is. It's going to be against Flowery Branch. Personal foul against hitting the man after he took the knee is all I can figure, so it'll put it on Flowery Branch's side of the 50 there, Michael.
So definitely not the way they want to do anything after that touchdown.
Yeah, exactly. He took the knee and he hit him after that. So, but they, you know, yet by you calling that other unsportsmanlike on East Forsyth, I can see where you had to call that one right there. So it will be first down at the 39 for East Forsyth. Sekas, one setback, three wideouts, two on the near side, ball right in the middle of the field. Sekas looks at his sideline with Martin behind him. He'll send Martin. Then Martin will stay behind him. Claps takes it, hands off to Martin. Martin takes it right up the middle, down inside the 30, down to the 29. Got a first down, I think. Nope, they're going to say he got to the 30. And they're stopping the clock. I do not know why. That's not a first down, but now we may have a flag. Yeah, we do. It'll be a dead ball. Personal foul against East Forsyth, so it'll come back from there, the white hat tells us. 3:31 in the quarter. The white hat, John Heath, picks up the hanky and they move it back to the 45-yard line from where the foul committed, so it'll be first down and 15 or 16 for the Falcons from there. 3:31 in the quarter, 10-7. Branch with a lead. Three wideouts near side. Ball's right at midfield. Martin goes over to the left of his quarterback, Sekas. Trying to pick up one man. It looked like he was going to blitz right there on the far side for Flowery Branch. That was pretty hard. He stopped and backed up. They got a handoff to Martin. Martin got a clear. So, and a man came up and knocked his legs out from under him at the 42. Fell forward to the 40.
Martin.
It'll be second down. Down to the 41. It'll be third down and 12 now for East Forsyth.
It'll bring up third down and 12 on the 41-yard line.
41-yard line, third and 12, 2:43 in the quarter. Three guys out wide to the near side. Barden, Rose, Frank. One guy out the far side is Polk. Takes the snap to Sekas. Sekas fakes. Going to throw it right over the top. High intercepted. Right there at the 39. 30, 29. Back to the 50. The 40. The 30. Sekas chasing him. He drags him out of bounds. Inside the 15 at the 13-yard line. Number 12. Tanner Renard. Second pick of the day. Went right up the sideline on the near sideline. All the way from the 24 back to the 13-yard line.
Huge turnover for the Falcons. Now they can convert it into points. They have a two-score lead here in the second half.
That's the second time Tanner Renard has broke on the ball perfectly, Mike, and intercepted the pass from Sekas. Sakis had a man, and all of a sudden there comes Tanner Renard out of center field, picks it off, and returns it a long way, all the way inside the 15 to the 13-yard line. It'll be first down and 10 for the Falcons. Let's see, caught it around the 24, so there's 26 yards. And then another, that's over 50 yards. That's pretty good.
Ball's on the, what?
13.
13, so that's 37 and 26. That is 63.
Awesome. Hands off to number one. Harper gets nothing on that one. As he tries to get around the near side, number three comes in and makes tackle. Kellen Moran makes the tackle for him. Didn't get an inch on that one. They read that one perfectly, it looked like. You've got Griffin Harper in the backfield, James Hendry in the backfield, and big number 28, Jackson Prehar in the backfield. And Prehar back there now. One man goes out. That is Hendry. Still three men in the backfield. Burry at quarterback up under center. Takes it. Hands off to Harper. Harper trying to bounce off a guy. No, they come in from behind and make the tackle. Number 23 comes from the far side. Messiah Arnold from one of those corner positions comes from the far side and makes the tackle for East Forsyth. Third down and 10.
Well, seriously, Joe, is it takes more than one Bronco to bring him down.
Yep. There's always one.
Try to stop him, then take another to bring him down.
It's always one down around the ankle, slowing him down
when
he's coming behind.
Yep.
Exactly. Garrison goes out. And Hendry comes back in the game for Flowery Branch.
What's the misdirection, Joe?
Borey. Hands off. No, he's going to roll out to the far side. Naked bootleg going out the far side, trying to get something. He gets about two, maybe. And his great pursuit on the far side looked like not Gus Martin. Oh, there. Yeah, Gus Martin. Lead guy over there along with number two, Foot. Knocks him out after a yard gain, maybe. Be fourth down and nine. I believe, is it going to be fourth down? No, they're going to go for the field goal right here.
Yeah,
I
got
think.
To.
Yeah, they are. They're going to hit it from the 20, be a 30-yard attempt from the 20. Rissanella by the hold of Harper. Ball's on the far hash mark. Snap to Harper. Low, bounced away. They will not get it. They have to fall on it at the 18.
Well, could not take advantage of that interception.
It bounced up there. Harper couldn't get it because it bounced off his hand and came out there and hit him in the head.
So still 10-7. Fly Branch on top of East Forsyth. Broncos will take over right there.
And let me get back over here to my scores real quickly for you. If everything's close to caught up here.
I tell you what, I got North Hall still on top of Pickens, 29-14, late second quarter. Commerce on top of Elbert County in the region game, 21-0. It was Jefferson over West Hall final, 49-14. And Chesapeake shuts out Johnson, 56-0.
Monroe 48-28 over East Hall. East Jackson gets probably, they're going to get shut out. It's 59-0. East Forsyth takes it, hand it off in the upback, and he's going to come in there and get maybe a yard. Great job as DJ Haskell takes the handoff, and great job by a linebacker in the upback to slow him down enough. And one of the backs in there, Garrison Prehar, comes in and makes the tackle for Flowery Branch.
And Joe, you see the problem we got with private schools in AA and AAA,
exactly.
Both Prince Avenue Christian and Hebron Christian in that region.
Mm-hmm. We have got there's the end of the third quarter right there. We went by in a hurry. 10-7, Branch leads it.
And we're back with the fourth and final quarter in 1 minute here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Back to school shouldn't mean back to the doctor. Make sure you go to Riverside Pharmacy for all of your health needs. They have everything from hand sanitizers to all of the vitamins you'll need. But if your child does get sick, then the expert pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy can get your family back to school by filling all of your prescriptions. They'll even deliver them in the Gainesville area. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too.
I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
Time to put four fingers in the air. Fourth and final quarter of this Region 8 Quad 8 match. So what a good one we got for you. Firebrands looking for their second win of the season, first region win as they lead East Forsyth 10-7 as we start the last 12 minutes of the game.
Ball will be spotted on the 17-yard line. It'll be second down for the Broncos, second and 10. After the break in between quarters, 10-7, Falcons lead it. Sakis takes the ball, hands off to his running back. Running back, oh, number 21, Austin Prior from the backer position, comes up, sacks him for about a yard loss. Third down, 11 yards to go.
Yeah, big play here for the Broncos. We get behind the sticks. How many times we said that? The defense from Fly Branch has really stepped it up, Joe.
Yes, they have. Played very well all day long today. Played the pass well, played the run real well today.
Well, both these teams played the top two teams in the region last week. East Forsyth falling to North Oconee, Firebrands falling to Eastside, and then dealing with this hurricane. Boy, what a game we've got here today.
Third down, 11 yards to go. Sakis back to pass. Looking. Now he steps up in the middle. Oh, and a man's going to tackle him in the backfield. Griffin Harper knocks him down at the 9, or excuse me, the 11. How about that, Michael?
Another failed third down conversion for East Forsyth. I think it's a punting situation for the Broncos.
Wow.
Let's see if Flying Branch sends the house on this one.
Griffin Harper just kept fighting his man and got around the guy as the running back tried to slow him down and couldn't do it. He's able to get a hand on a foot down there, pulls him down at the 11-and-a-half-yard line. Looks like 28. Titus D'Arcangelo is back there to punt it. It's either him or Aguilera, excuse me, one of the two. Back deep is Robinson for the Falcons. Looks like everybody else is coming. They are, but they get it off. Ball's going to be a bad kick. It's going to hit around the 38, roll across the 40, and out of bounds at the 43. So not a long punt, but a good field position for the Falcons to start their next possession with 10:27 left in regulation.
Ends up being 32 yards for East Forsyth, and Firebrands is in East Forsyth territory, leading by three here in the fourth quarter. Again, after our game at 3 o'clock, college football only here on 97.5 Glory FM. Georgia State hosting Georgia Southern.
State, not Southern, down at the Center Park Stadium.
Always.
We'll have David Harper on the call today. First down, going left to right as you look at your radio dial. Handoff misdirection over here to the near side to number 3, Parker Burry. Parker's going to get across the 40 down to the 39, about a 4-yard pickup. Clock will still run, which is good for the Falcons being up by 3 right now. 4-yard pickup, second down, 6 yards to go.
But, Joe, that misdirection play has really worked for Fly Branch.
They put a man in motion, and Parker is in a slot on the far side. He comes across and gets in motion, and boom, Riley hands it off to him. And I'm assuming they are cousins. They've got to be related to the name, spell
yes,
the same.
Sir.
And so Riley hands it off to Parker, and he comes across, gets 4 yards. Second down, down 6. For the Falcons. One setback this time. Two guys on each wing. Harper the back behind Riley Bory. Harper's going to have it. He dives in nose first or helmet first across down to the 37. Gets about 2 yards. It should be third down and about 4. Now ball's down at the 38. Got to get to the 34. So third down, 4 yards to go for the Falcons. One man out, one man in. Resinella out. Jacob Miller back in. Miller comes over to tight end position on the near side. Off to his right is Ryland Garrison, kind of in a slot position. Griffin Harper, the lone setback. Bory. Hands off to Harper, and he's hit. Immediately the ball came out right there at the 38.
And
East up. We fell on it. Right there is going to be Flower Branch's football. right there at the 38-yard line, fourth down.
But it shows you how hard the Broncos hit, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
That's the fourth fumble of the ball game.
Riley's going out now. It looks like Brooks is just going to punt it this time. He drops back around the 50. Gus Martin back to catch it around the 10. Resinella is standing now. They're flip-flopping some guys on the far side. Some gunners coming down the far side. Resinella gets it, a little pooch kick right over the top, hoping it'll hit somebody. They're following it inside the 15 and rolling and rolling and rolling down inside to the 12-yard line. Not a great one, but a good little pooch kick down to the 12-yard line for Flowery Ranch, and that's where East Forsyth will have it. First and 10 on their next possession with 7:50 remaining in regulation.
And here's the thing about it, Joe, is that they need to get down as quickly as they can, but they try to run as much clock here in the fourth quarter. All they need is three to tie it.
Mm-hmm. Got an illegal procedure on the Falcons after the fact, and they're going to take it right there. Where it is, they're going to decline it and take it right there at the 12. And I think I understand. They are, and I understand why they're doing that, because think about it. If they back him up and he kicks again, there's a couple things that could go wrong and one that could go right.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to play the percentages and play it from right there. They're going to move it up 5 yards. It's a 16 is where they're going to say it'll be down at. And it'll be first and 10 for the Broncos right there. Sakis will come in. Running back's going to be Martin. Three wideouts, three on the near side. Ball's almost in the middle of the football field. Right there. Sakis takes it quick out over here. Almost intercepted, but 33. Go Martin, gets it across the 30. Down to the 35, the 38-yard line. Man, I tell you what, number 12, Tanner Renard, almost had pick number three right there, Michael. He came up there and dove at it, had a hand right there, and Renard caught it and was able to get up to the 40-yard line to throw from the, what's that, 16, so a 24-yard pickup after the 40. First big play, that large a play for the Broncos all day. Martin's going to flip-flop sides, left to right. He's going to put him in motion. His Sakis looking to pass. Tipped right in there, and it's going to be caught by number 12. That is Trent Pope, but it's only going to get a yard. It was got tipped by Renard charging hard, and then number 21 comes in and makes the tackle. That's Austin Prehar.
You can tell they've got plenty of time. They're trying to rush it, Joe, and keep the Branch defense on their heels.
Mm-hmm. It looks like what they're doing is rushing a little bit too many. And like you said, they've got plenty of time. They've got 7 minutes, just under 6:57. Sakis takes it. Four wideouts, three on the far side. Ball in the near hash mark this time. Sakis takes it. Looks, got time, throws it right there. Complete as he falls out of bounds. Number 12 caught that one. Trent Polk across midfield at the 48-yard line. It'll be a 12-yard pickup and a first down for East Forsyth. 10-7 is your score. Flyer Branch with a three-point lead.
Remember that last drive of the first half for East Forsyth?
Mm-hmm. Three down linemen, one standing up. Going to hand off to Martin. Martin's going to hit it in the backfield. Big, big defensive play by number 88, Eli Poole. Martin with no gain, and Poole comes in and meets him head on, makes the tackle.
There's that edge rusher here by Joe.
Yep.
On the NFL side.
Comes off from the far side, comes around, grabs him around the waist, and drags him down. For no gain, second down, 10. Ball's at the 48. 6:19 in the quarter. Sakis with four wideouts. Puts Martin from behind him to his left. Takes it. Looks to pass. Back two steps. Looking. A little pressure up the middle. Poole chasing him. Throws him out to the far side. One man. He beats that man on the far side. Sakis going to jump out of bounds after a 12-yard gain. And we got a cramp on the far side. It looks like Eli Poole. Nope, that's the big number 50, Pacheco. Gonna have to come out. It looks like he got a cramp down there, Mike. He came down and I saw that toe pop up. So he got a 12-yard gain run by Sakis that time. Got the first down to the 37-yard line. And the East Forsyth ball.
So both quarterbacks have had a big run in the ball game,
yes,
too.
Yes, they have. Four wideouts again, three on the near side. Hand off to Martin. Martin gonna take it. Got a hole, 35 down to the 31.
Well, trying to spread the defense and make a hole there in the middle for Martin.
Yep, Martin gets about seven on that one. The second down in three for the Broncos.
Yeah, 10-7, fourth quarter. Fire Branch on top.
5:40 in the quarter. Same set. Four wideouts, three on the near side. Whichever the wide side is, that's where they normally put their three wideouts. They'll put one up on the line and two kind of offset. Martin, Rhodes, and Frank on the near side. Looking to pass. Sekas looking in there. He had one man and he beat him. Now he's going to lob it right over the top. Nobody's there except the photographer. Incomplete. Bring up second down and about three now for the Broncos.
Second or third?
Third down. They just changed it. My bad. I had to wait on that down marker to change. They got one of those electric ones that they just mash a button and it goes one, two, three. So it's on three right now. Third down. Big number 77, Ethan Mooneyham, comes in at the nose guard position. Getting some size in there on the defensive line. Sekas. He'll get up there and go, huh, like that, and try to draw him off sides. Didn't happen, so everybody, offensive line including, looks over to the near sideline, gets the play. He puts Martin on his right. Sekas takes it, got a flag.
It could be on East.
It is. Play clock went down, so it's a delay of game on East, so it'll be a five-yard penalty. Make it third down and eight. That's a big penalty right there because you go third and short to third and a little bit longer. Now you got to – do you change the play or whatever?
Well, now it's got to be a pass play, you got to think.
You would think, right.
How much pressure can the Falcons give to the East or South offense here? Mm-hmm. This could be their last chance of the ball game.
Jacob Bursinger, who's usually on the tight end side, is on the defensive side and one of those edge rushers now, Mike. Third down, 8 yards to go. 5:17 in the quarter. Back. They sling it right over the top. Complete. He's going to have the first down and more. 20, 15, 10. Touchdown, Broncos.
Boy, broke it loose there on a third down play.
Rhodes caught it and broke the tackle right there. Attempted right there around the 30-yard line and beat that man for the tackle and goes in for the touchdown.
You can tell another busted play on defense by the Falcons. Man, yeah, great play by the Broncos.
He comes up there to catch it, and it's a tackle. The tackler didn't wait for him. He kind of goes after him, and when he did, Rhodes just sidestepped him and went right down the sideline on the far side. Extra point attempt by Aguilera, right-footed kicker, 5:04, trying to make it a four-point game, and he does, 14-10 Broncos with 5:04 remaining.
And we're back with the kickoff in 1 minute on 97.5 Glory FM.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
97.5 Glory FM is WGTJ Murrayville Gainesville and W248DL Murrayville Gainesville.
Aguilera with the kick. Borey and Robinson back. Robinson's going to take it at the 4 to the 10. The 15 tries to come to the near side and just has to hit the ground. He had three white jerseys right at him. He gets to the 19, so about a 15-yard kickoff return. Be first and 10 for the Falcons at the 19-yard line, first down and 10, 4:59, so we're just under 5 minutes here. East Hall trying to make a comeback. Mike, is 48-35 now is what I have on the scoreboard.
North Hall now leads Pickens 29-21 in the third quarter.
Raven over Providence Christian, 50-14. Clark Central final down against Appalachia, 48-21. Prince Avenue, 43-21 over Hart County is the final. We get off to Parker out to to Griffin Harper. Griffin with a pass caught it and got out to the he's going to be called for a loss back to about the 18. And now we've got a man down. Hope that's not Burry. Let's see. Official timeout on the field, and he's still on the turf. He's laying face down and got the trainer coming out on the field to check on him quickly.
And that's not good.
Not, trying to get a number, but they got him surrounded down there. The Flower Branch trainer out checking on him. He's on his back now, and his helmet's off, so that's a good thing. But they're looking at his ankle right side. Trainers for...
And so you mentioned, and our prayers still go out to everybody in Appalachia. Give them a lot of credit, buddy, for playing football today.
Yes.
First time since the tragedy on September the 4th.
And scoring 21 points, it just tickles me to death they scored that many.
And only 1 week of practice. They had reacclimation last week, mandated by the GHSA, just practicing in shorts.
Mm-hmm.
But this week they were able to practice in pads. And then with the hurricane, not much time to prepare for today's ball game.
Exactly. Didn't really have a whole lot of time. I'm sure they had to go in the gym or an indoor facility down there for a couple of days. You know, you talk about the acclimation just to get them used to it. And luckily, it was a fairly warm week last week, so it didn't take them long to get reacclimated, if you will. Yeah, that was but he's up walking up on his own. That's Griffin Harper, and he's walking off with no hitch in his giddy-up, so to speak.
You know, he is really tough, and Gary's catching his breath because he's one of the best wrestlers there is, a state champion here at Flyer Branch.
Now he's sprinting off the field. They get his helmet in his hand, and he sprints over to the far side. I'm sure he's going to go on the tent, probably retape it. But, yeah, he's over there in a hurry and gets on the training table. He said, come over here and tape it.
Because he's going to get back to the ball game.
The trainer can't keep up with him.
I mean, the Branch need him bad.
Yep. All right, so coming out, it'll be second down 11 now for the Branch. You've got Riley Borey. Behind him is number 15, James Hendry. They have four wideouts, Mike, three on the far side. Parker takes it. Doesn't even take a step. Throws it complete over there. He gets it out to the 21. It's about a three-yard gain out to the 22 is where they'll spot it. Third down and about seven now for the Falcons.
And again, probably four down territory, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Trailing 14-10 here in the fourth.
4 minutes, 10 seconds in running here in the final regulation quarter. Number 12, Tanner Renard, has been catching the ball defensively all day. They put him on the offensive side this time as a receiver. Tyler Robinson in the game on the near side. Renard in on the near side. Four wideouts, three on the near. I move Hendry in right beside him. Borey back there looking to pass. Borey doesn't take a step. He throws it aloft over the top. Got a man. Is it complete? Down to the 50-yard line. Far side number 11. Brooks Rissanella had two men all over him, and he goes up and catches it at the 49-yard line. First and 10.
But keeps the drive going.
Flag.
A late flag,
Joe. I'm talking on the far side over there. Let's see where it's coming from and what it is. Holding on the defense. Decline, it'll be a first down. How about that? That's why Rissanella was so late getting down there.
Yep.
Yeah, he did a nice job, Brooks did, when he got down there. He jumped high. We got it, caught it at the apex at the 49, brought down because, like I said, he had two men wrapped up all over him.
You know, I really thought he'd add 10 to the end of the play, Joe.
Yep.
They didn't. They called it decline and first for the Branch.
Balls at the 49, 3:27 in the quarter. 14-10. Slim lead. 4 points by the Broncos.
And Falcons got to have a touchdown.
Looking to pass. Rolls out to the near side. Looks. Now he's going to try and run. Beats one guy. And he's going to get up to the back up original line of scrimmage, 49. One guy, number 18, comes up and makes it. That's Troy Hoover. Makes the tackle.
I mean, you got to have a touchdown. Troy by four.
Loss of one. Bring up second down.
Unless we can get two safeties in a row. I don't know that that could happen.
Not enough time.
Well, maybe a field goal or an extra point, but you got to get throw a touchdown in there somewhere with an extra point, right? Second down, 11 yards to go. He lost a yard on that one. You got Rissanella out on the near side. Two on three on the far side. Miller, Robinson. Borey throwing it. Oh, off the shoulder pads, Rissanella. Hands, shoulder pads, and hit the ground. Doggone it. If he catches that, when he gets about 6 or 7 yards, nice play. You just got to watch it all the way in there, Brooksy. Didn't catch it that time. bounced off his hands, shoulder pads, and hit the ground. Be third down and 11. Ball's on the 48-yard line of Flower Branch. Renard coming back in the game on the offensive side now. 2:32 remaining in regulation. Missanella on the near side. Renard Robinson on the far side. One set back is Hendry. Borey puts Hendry on his left side. Borey looking to pass, rolls out to the other side. Looking, going to run, going to get hit at the 49 on the far side. And clock will continue to run. It'll be fourth down and about eight, though. He did get across midfield. Ball will be at the 48. Fourth down and eight for the Falcons with 2 minutes and 10 seconds remaining.
Stop made by 24 Dickerson. Bring up fourth down and eight.
Fourth and eight. You know they're going for it right here.
Ball game right here.
And we're going to have a timeout called by Flyer Ranch right
we'll
here.
We'll take it with them, Joe. Back in 1 minute on 97.5 Glory FM.
On-time service and experience matter for your home's heating and air system. For more than 40 years, Conditioned Air Systems has been North Georgia's solution for residential HVAC installation, maintenance, and repair. Family-owned and operated, we deliver the highest quality service on any brand and model with no hidden fees, promising 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Comfort you can feel, quality you can trust. Visit ConditionedAirSystems.com to schedule an appointment.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
Fourth down, 8 yards to go. Borey will be in the shotgun. One set back behind him, three wideouts. Ball's on the 49-yard line of East Forsyth. 1:57 remaining. Borey back to pass. Got a blocker. Now he's got to come on him. He rolls out to the right, looking. Throws at the last minute. Oh, just incomplete. If he'd have caught that, it'd have been a first down at the 40.
And no incomplete. Flags, and East Forsyth takes over.
Oh, and Brooks Rusinello was coming back for it, but he was just a little short as Riley couldn't hardly get it to him. He had a lot of pressure, so credit to the man for rolling out to the near side, and he threw it and just a little bit more oomph on the ball, and Brooks would have caught that one, but that is goes over on downs, and basically East Forsyth can almost kneel on it.
Well, here's the thing, Joe. You got two timeouts left, don't you?
That's true.
You could go ahead and call it quickly.
Yep.
And then see if East Forsyth might go on a fourth down play.
Yep. See what will happen here. First down, ball's on the 49-yard line off East Forsyth. They have the football. I would imagine they're going to bring some folks.
No, they want a first down.
Yep. No, I'm talking about Flyer Branch.
He's the first down.
Yes, they do. And back to Sekas. Sekas hands off to the running back. Oh, and he gets about 5 or 6 yards right up the middle. That is number 18, a new running back in there. Troy Hoover runs and gets about 5 yards right off the boot there. Goes from the 49 to the 44-yard line of Flowery Branch.
And they did not call timeout, did they?
Yeah, timeout called on the far side.
We're going to keep it right here, Nathan. Again, coming up at 3 o'clock, join us for the Panther pregame shows. We bring you college football only here on 97.5 Glory FM with Georgia State and Georgia Southern. Hope you enjoyed our broadcast today. You can tell your friends they can tune into our broadcast on our website, WGTJRadio.com, and go to our football replay tab and hear today's ball game again anytime.
Kentucky beating Ole Miss 10-7 in the third quarter at Ole Miss.
Ooh, big one.
Michigan over Minnesota 21-3. Purdue over Nebraska 3-0. BYU 31. Baylor 21. Kansas State over Oklahoma State 28-13 in the third quarter. That's all I have right now on the college side of it. On the high school side, you've got Hart County losing to Prince Avenue 43-21. Clark Central beats Appalachia 48-21. Raven County 50-14 over Bethlehem, or Providence Christian, excuse me. Windebear 28-16 over Habersham at the half. Second down, 5 yards to go for East Forsyth. two wideouts on the far side, one guy in a blocking position, going to hand off to Martin. Martin going to run it right up the middle and get about three more. Yeah, they're going to stop the clock right
there.
That's
their last time out too, Joe.
And that'll be it right there. And get it up to the 42-and-a-half-yard line. It'll be third down and basically one for the East Forsyth Broncos.
Now here's the ball game. If the Broncos get the first down, it's over.
East Hall trying to make a game out of it after getting behind pretty bad to Monroe area. They're down by 13 in the fourth quarter, 48-35. Jackson County 48-10 over Alcove. East Jackson getting walloped by Hebron Christian 66-7.
That may be a final score East Hall game. They started at 11 o'clock this morning.
It very well may be, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been a long one coming.
And North Hall up on Pickens 29-21 in the third quarter. Homecoming up at North Hall today. Mia Davis, congratulations again. Homecoming queen here at Flowery Branch for 24-25. Back judge was up there, tooted his whistle, said, all right, I'm ready. I'm going to jog back here and be ready. Yeah, he's the man that has to come up to the sideline when they call the timeout to make sure the coaches don't go past the numbers and all that stuff. Third down. Basically 1 yard to go. Everybody in tight. One guy out wide. The tight end backs up off the line. Now he goes in motion. He's going in as a blocker more than anything. They go to the fullback, and fullback gets a big run right at the middle. Three guys holding on for Flair Branch, but he gets the first down into the 32.
And that's the ball game. East Forsyth will go to 5-1 of the season with their first region victory here in 8-Quad 8 as they'll win 14-10 because now the Branch cannot stop the clock.
Troy Hoover came from that blocking position, got the ball and went right in and got that big yardage across to the 32. Be first and 10 with 74 seconds left here in the contest.
Just go to the score, Joe. Halftime, GAC 14, Dawson County 6.
First down. They're in tight in the victory formation. Seconds takes it, kneels down. That's the first. They'll probably have to do that one more time, and that'll be your ball game. They'll run it right down to the end because you got the 40-second play clock that gets going.
And think about it, Joe. It was not a 49-48 ball game. This was a very exciting ball game.
Oh, it was. You know, you look at the 14-10 score, and it was just that, a very good ball game. I mean, you're scoreless in the first quarter, 7-3, at the half.
Yep.
There's a second knee right there with 35, and that'll be your ball game, I do believe, because it'll recycle to 40. And that'll be your ball game as the teams come to the sideline. Final will be East Forsyth 14, Flower Branch 10. And, Mike, you know, we've seen Branch a couple times this year. They've won one and lost one. But the defense really played well today.
Oh, yeah.
Against this East Forsyth team.
Yep, that one busted play there, yep, and a great touchdown pass there here in the fourth quarter. And the East Forsyth ends up winning. Final score, East Forsyth 14, Flowery Branch 10. Joe and I are back after this 2-minute timeout, wrapping up for you here on 97.5 Glory FM.
At Jackson EMC, we embrace innovation. The new ideas in our industry that lead to better use of resources and improved ways of conducting business.
To be an innovative cooperative, I believe we always have to be looking at how we are handling our member experience.
Innovation is really important to Jackson EMC. It's our role to really make sure we're on the cutting edge of these new changes in technology that are coming to the power sector.
Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
Back to school shouldn't mean back to the doctor. Make sure you go to Riverside Pharmacy for all of your health needs. They have everything from hand sanitizers to all of the vitamins you'll need. But if your child does get sick, then the expert pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy can get your family back to school by filling all of your prescriptions. They'll even deliver them in the Gainesville area. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
And we're back here at Flyer Branch High School. Joe Gailey, Mike Warfit with you here. Nathan Laddie, our producer, back at her studios. Great job as always. This was a fun ball game. Yes, everything changed with the adversity of Hurricane Helene making this game being played today. It was a region game, homecoming for the Brants. They got the homecoming dance tonight. Think about it, you could have kept the dance, but you want to have the game beforehand from that standpoint. So played the game. Beautiful weather today. Wind affected things in the first half of play. It was a scoreless first quarter of play. And then it was the Brants taking a 3-0 lead in the second quarter on a 28-yard field goal. And then it was the Broncos in their final possession coming down and driving downfield and hit a touchdown pass that went like 28 yards. A busted play defensively by the Brants, broke it down. But the quarterback there for East Forsyth did a great job with the pass play. And he had trouble connecting in the first half until that last drive. And they took a 7-3 lead into halftime. And then it comes down really to the fourth quarter of play as it was in the second half. The Falcons taking a lead of 10-7 on this touchdown pass.
Going to give it up to Prehar, I believe. They're going to push and push. Touchdown, Falcons! Number 20, D'Artavius Gletson with the touchdown.
And I said pass, I meant rush from that standpoint. And two big defensive plays, Joe, by Renard. They converted on one and couldn't really on the other.
Yeah, Prehar, Jackson did great. He read both of those perfectly in the first half when he got the interception, and then that one in the second half. He was playing center field, basically. He saw the pass coming. He took off towards it soon as, right before Sakis let go of it, ran right up and caught it in that second one. He ran it back 50 yards nearly and got down there, and they wound up, I think, scoring on that one. And, he played really good today. Put him on offense there that last possession they had, thinking they might get, and they just missed him on one of the passes. And then they almost got him on one of the passes completions and almost hit their other receiver down there one time, which, let me find his name, Brooks Russinella.
Yep.
And, just short hopped Brooks, because Brooks would have got that touchdown.
Well, you can see that for Prehard, they had a good ball game. Here, Coach Tester right now say, the effort was there, outstanding effort today, especially after losing last Friday down in Covington to Eastside, a top 10 team in the state. And again, also East Forsyth failed, one of the best teams you and I have seen, and of course, East with North Oconee. Mm-hmm. And so they're both trying to rebound today. And this was an old-fashioned football game here today that we saw. And from that standpoint, I'm sure Coach Tester's going to say, we made a couple of mistakes on defense, and that was the two that East Forsyth capitalized on, Joe, and threw those two touchdown passes.
Yeah, that was a big thing, just capitalizing on that. And, I think that the defense played outstanding, I think. I think played really good for both teams.
Yep.
But I thought coming in that East Forsyth would show more offense. And, man, I tell you what, I was really pleased. And I know Coach Tester and his defensive staff have to be, because they played really, really good defense in the entire ball game.
Yep.
The two missed tackles were the two biggest thing on the reception. One was going left to right, as I call it, going towards the east end zone here. And, missed a tackle right here around the 40. He was able to get down. And I think they scored on that one. And the other one on the far side over there when they scored the long touchdown when they got it over there to Rhodes. And that was just one of those that you got to wrap him up. And if they wrapped him up, who knows what happens, but they didn't. And he was able to scoot down the sideline and get a touchdown.
All right, so rest of the schedule next week. Flyer Branch has the week off. They're back in action here in 2 weeks against Madison County and then followed by Walnut Grove. They'll go on the road, wrap up the season at North Oconee and at Cedar Shoals. And for the Broncos of East Forsyth, they're back at home at Half Mile Stadium coming up next week at John Down Road at East Forsyth as they'll play host to Cedar Shoals. And really, that's a game they should win and go to 2-1 in region play.
They should. Cedar Shoals is struggling a little bit this year. But just have to see what happens. I think that the Flyer Branch has improved defensively, and Borey is getting better a little bit at a time. And he's a young team. He's getting better as he plays. He threw the ball decent today. He just short hopped the one pass in there that would have kept the drive alive to possibly go down and score again there. And those are the little things that the kids learn, and everybody's like, this time of year, but he's still young. He's still learning. So, and he would be in pressure pretty heavy by two big old boys that last.
Though, you see, Griffin Harper, that's their offense in a big way, Joe.
He is. He makes a lot of difference when he's in there. Harper does, Bledson does, You had Hendry came in and tried to spell him some today. Number 28, Jackson Prehar came in and played on offense today. He's the one that actually scored the touchdown.
Yep.
I said it was Blessing, but it was number 28 because his shirt was rolled up.
It was Jackson.
Now, Prehar scored the touchdown down there. So, you know, they've got a few weapons in there, but Griffin is the go-to guy. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And, again, Joe and I, along with Harper Bell and Gary Glenn, the whole team back with you next Friday night, will be at West Hall High School. Let's see if the Spartans can rebound, and it's been tough for the Cherokee Bluff Bears. They haven't played in 2 weeks. They had last week off, yep. And this week, because of the hurricane, they went ahead and had to reschedule. So they rescheduled their game with Oconee County mm-hmm. in Watkinsville on a Thursday night, October 17th, mm-hmm. and that is the week of fall break for the Hall County School District. They'll be out Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but instead of playing on that Friday night, the 18th, they're going to play on Thursday night, October 17th. But so it's been a while for the Bears to play mm-hmm. undefeated on the season. They'll be at West Hall at the Hot Gates next Friday night. Our broadcast will begin with the Longstreet Cafe pregame show at 7:05. Kickoff will be at 7:30 p.m. Hope you'll join us in and stay tuned. We got much more football for you. We're going to have the very best in Southern Gospel for the rest of this hour until 3 o'clock. And then we head to Atlanta at Center Park Credit Union Stadium for the big game, first Sun Belt Conference game of the season, as it will be the Georgia Southern Eagles coming to Atlanta to take on the Georgia State Panthers. Dave Cohen and Harper LaBelle bringing the play-by-play only here on your radio station for North Georgia Sports, 97.5 Glory FM. For the entire sports team at 97.5 Glory FM, for Nathan Landy and for Joe Gailey, I'm Mike Warford. Thanks for being with us. Final score once again, East Forsyth 14 and Flowery Branch 10. You've been tuned to high school football on 97.5 Glory FM.
This has been Friday Night Football in North Georgia on 97.5 Glory FM. Tonight's game was brought to you by Conditioned Air Systems, NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine, Jackson EMC, Duplicating Products, Riverside Pharmacy, EMC Security, Siphon Logistics, and by North Hall Tire and Wheel. Join us next week for more exciting high school football on 97.5 Glory FM. This has been a sports presentation of WGTJ Radio, your radio station for North Georgia sports.